much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you still hiding your kids, hiding your wives, and hiding your husbands? Well, help is on the way.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
We're playing our ass off every day and got nothing to show for it. I'm tired of losing. I'm trying to get my ass beat, and so are those guys. We got to change this shit around and get after it. And only we can do it. The fans are pissed off, and I'm pissed off, and the players are pissed off. And that's the way it is. There's no fucking easy way out of this. Can't feel sorry for ourselves. Got to fucking buckle it up and get after it. Tired of goddamn losing this fucking every night, and we bust our ass. It's got to be a total team fucking effort to turn this thing around, and that's it.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
And now,
the great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
What? I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Our feature presentation.
Come on, we don't need that piece of tape.
No, I think we do.
Maybe one of the greatest moments ever. It happened off the air, which is usually not fair game, but that one was so great we had to bring it onto the air so we can show you a little bit behind the scenes of the magic that is the Kevin and Bean Show.
How do you rank my moments, really?
Yeah, well,
that's tough. I don't know.
Did that happen this year? That's 2010 tape, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm starting to think that very soon we're going to be voting on our year end poll of the greatest moments of the show and greatest drops to show and all.
I don't think that happened this year.
I couldn't remember.
No, it did.
No, it didn't, because we were talking about curling, which was in the Winter Olympics of last year.
Yeah. That's true.
Wait, the Winter Olympics would have been
last year.
Why last year? Aren't they in February of 2010?
Are they? I thought they were like...
Oh, I don't know. I was just going with Mike. That's a bad policy.
They're in February.
Because he sounds like he knows what he's saying. He always does that, and I always back down. And it pisses me off later because he's wrong.
But Bean is right about 99% of the time.
Well, I'm just saying the Olympics couldn't have been in 2009, that's all. So I think it was...
It might have been 2008. When was the Winter Olympics?
Look...
Wasn't it in Vancouver this year?
Is what I'm being told.
He's right.
That's what I was telling you.
Not so
I don't know if that's true or not. Okay. Hey, real quick, before we go to your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067. Who's the funniest person there is, in your opinion? Do you have a go-to guy? Of course, it couldn't be a girl, but do you have a go-to guy who always makes you laugh, who never fails? They show up, they're on a TV show, for instance, and you go gold every time. Who's yours, Lisa?
And now, of course, I'm blanking on his name, the guy that created The Office.
Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais is my go-to guy.
Okay. Kevin, Mike, go-to guy?
I'm going to say either David Cross or Louis C.K. maybe.
Are we talking stand-ups or movie?
Anyone. Like Will Ferrell, for instance, could certainly be in contention as a guy who's always great. Well, I'm with Lisa on Ricky Gervais, and he slayed me again last night. I love him every time he's on TV. He was part of Conan O'Brien's debut show on TBS last night.
Smart.
And he sent along, the bit was, hey, Conan said, a lot of my friends have reached out to me to offer support for the new show here. And he sent a tape along, a good luck tape. And I'm very excited about it. And rather than bring you an exciting Bean's Death Corner, which we may have to wait for tomorrow, here's a look, because we've got a very busy show. I don't know if we'll have time to do this later. Ricky Gervais with his taped message for Conan O'Brien last night. And I think he brings it again.
Hi, Conan. I'm really sorry things didn't work out at your last gig. But I just wanted to wish you the very best of luck with your new show on TBS. I've got a really good feeling about this one. Good luck. As I'm here, maybe I should sort of bang a few more outs in case you need them down the road. Never know. Hi, Conan. I'm really sorry about what happened at TBS. But I'm a huge fan of the Food Network. And I know you're going to be a great fit there. Go get them, buddy. Okay, one more. Hi, Conan. You know what? Screw the Food Network. Their loss is Good Morning Dayton's gain. Can't wait to catch you doing the weather next time I'm in Western Ohio. Okay, just one more. Hi, Conan. Listen, don't beat yourself up about what happened in Dayton. Now you're back where you belong, with a new show and a national audience. I will definitely be tuning in just as soon as I sign up for satellite radio. That should hold you for another 7 months or so. He's lucky. It'd be better on radio. He's sort of got the looks. Although his voice is a little bit annoying, so it's pathetic, really.
Anyway, the great Ricky Gervais, and I'm sure we'll be talking more about Conan's return to late night throughout the show, but I just thought, once again, he's my hero.
He's really the best. He always delivers.
All right, time for your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, a good deal for you today. It's a copy of Back to the Future. The 25th anniversary trilogy is now out on Blu-ray and DVD. You get the DVD version in stores now. So why not please enjoy? 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Victor real quick with the least surprising news of the week. Yeah. Hi, Victor. Welcome to the show. What's going on, man?
What did you do?
What did you do?
How dare you?
Hey, good morning. Hi. Hey, how beautiful is that? Wade Phillips getting fired and the Cowboys losing season, and I mean, it's just a burning ship going down.
Yeah, those of you who don't follow the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys have been really good of late, and we're expected to be good this year, and suck. I think a lot of high school teams could beat them this year, so they ended up firing their coach, which was a surprise to nobody.
Okay.
Because they're doing so poorly.
But I was a little bit confused, and maybe there's just so much NFL news, it's tough to keep it all straight, but Mike, you would know. Didn't Jerry Jones or somebody come out 2 weeks ago and say, Wade Phillips is going to be our coach all season long, he's secure?
About 3 weeks ago he was saying that no one has any worries.
That's okay. Typical Jerry Jones.
Yeah. But I also don't get confused because it was Minnesota that also there's been that, you know, kind of weird situation with the coaching job,
right.
Too.
Right. Meaning he's got security?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that situation's looking like it's turning because they're making Brad Childress and Brett Favre are making comments about each other in the press. It's a weird situation. I want to know how does the Cowboys situation stand any chance of turning itself around?
It doesn't.
When you take the offensive coordinator who has no job security and it's already a losing season.
He's the head coach?
He's the interim head coach. The players know he's probably on a temporary basis, and they have 2 wins. How do they in any way respect this guy and just think, you know what, now let's start playing hard. Now let's turn it around and
let's
not
just
get injured.
Put a clown in or a mime. They don't really need anybody for the rest of the season. They're done.
Now, Victor, you sound happy about it. Is it because you don't like the Cowboys? Is that why?
I don't think anybody around here likes the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But it's just maybe because of how successful the organization's been over the last decades.
Right.
It makes it that much sweeter.
It does, yeah.
Exactly.
And part of the problem is that whoever came up with that America's Team thing, which I think was Jerry Jones. I mean, that'd be dumb. That's like a radio station say they're, world famous or something stupid that.
But it was kind of true when they started that.
Yes,
in the 70s.
You don't say that. Other people say that about you.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we were saying yesterday to Awesome Town.
Right.
You might be awesome, but you don't call yourself awesome because then you're automatically not awesome.
I have to tell you, I have a friend who lives in Awesome Town who never, she's like the laziest person I know. She wrote a hate letter to them when they announced
Awesome
Town.
Really? About the Awesome Town?
Yes.
Awesome.
I also think it had a lot to do with the fact that people are enjoying the Cowboys, failure so much is that they invested like $5 gajillion in that Jerry's World down there.
Stadium
and
all that.
We're like,
this
is going to be the first time the team goes to the Super Bowl that's hosting it.
Right.
You
and
watch.
The Super Bowl is
you
this
watch.
Year in Dallas, and that was all the talks. First time there's ever going to be a home field advantage for a team in the Super Bowl.
I would say if there is an America's Team now, the team that everybody tunes in to watch, there are a couple choices. Steelers would certainly have to be in contention. Patriots, maybe,
yes,
but not any, not lately.
No, but
not
they're
lately.
Still one of the biggest, I would guess.
And the biggest television draw, I think, is whoever Brett Favre is quarterbacking for. You know, when they had that Sunday night Vikings game a couple weeks ago, it was the highest rated football game of the whole season. I mean, he is, there's so much, storyline with him that even non-football fans have caught up. Hey, let's see what Grandpa's doing.
Well, Grandpa's good enough to sext, so. That's
all right. Let's try Chewy. It's a tangentially sports-related topic, but really more important than talking about football. Hey, Chew, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Hey, fellas. What's happening? How you doing? Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
We're good.
Hey, Lakers are 7-0, but big deal. The Lakers girls seem to be the hottest they've ever been in a while, haven't they?
He is so right.
They look smoking hot. I mean, before we get some dogs, we get those skinny chicks that can dance. Yeah, they can dance, but they're ugly. We got some smoking hot cheerleaders this year.
Here's the problem for those of you that don't go to Laker games is that they are way more concerned about dancing than they are being hot or sexy. So he's right. Chewy's right. In general, you'll get some good dancers. Not so good on the eyes, but really good dancers. Right. And that's really all they care about. And they ought to be going straight for sex appeal.
It is LA, after all.
Are they doing that now?
They've added probably 10 girls this year, and all of them are pretty good looking.
Right.
It seems like the outfits are a lot more skimpier than they've ever been
All right. Well. Excellent.
Fantastic.
And I don't think the fans care about the dancing at all.
They don't.
No, but I
Not
think
even
they
a little
think
bit.
That they'll get a break or something there here
I
in
LA.
I
think the person who runs the Laker girls, that's her deal,
right.
is that she wants
I'm
it
sure.
to be a premier dance group so they
right.
can compete
right.
on America's Next
well,
Dance Model.
Screw
right.
there.
It is ridiculous, I know, but I maybe know, it's going the other way.
I know in the dance community, that sounds crazy, but like the Laker girls is looked at as like a creme de la creme.
Oh,
job.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm in the dance community.
The chick that their head choreographer, the chick with the short hair, Kevin, you see walking around, she's looked at as like a god in the dance
right.
world.
But not in the sexy world.
No.
All right, there you go.
Kevin, you may have just come up with a great idea. If there were an America's Top Dance Model, I would watch that. That's
seriously.
A good show. I like it. All right, Carlos, we don't have time for your call, but thank you so much for dialing in. Hang on, we will give you your Back to the Future on DVD, though.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay, I get it. You feel out of the loop, and you feel sorry for yourself, and it's really sad because everybody thinks you're a loser.
Wow.
Oh, that hurts.
Rough.
It's a lot easier, though, if you're like I am and you don't realize that you're a loser.
Yeah, that's true.
It really makes it better. On today's show, there's only one thing that matters. And that is the new Wings CD.
Yes.
And I listened to it yesterday. I got to tell you, it could be her worst, best work.
Really?
And she's put out, how many, Bean? 10 albums?
Something like that, yeah.
This is great. And she attempts not only all the single ladies, but also two Michael Jackson songs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can't wait.
And she doesn't exactly pull it off like he did. She's got her own style, though.
Exactly. Right. She makes it around. That's what they tell you to do on American Idol.
So she emailed us, and she told us to talk slowly. Please talk slowly. So
okay.
I emailed back, and I said, listen faster. Here's a clip. You want to hear a clip?
Yes.
Just to get a little sample of what it's like? So you can see.
Very different.
That's new sound.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard to understand, too. It's weird. G4's Adam Sessler will be on the program today. He's talking about a game that a lot of people have been playing now since midnight.
Oh, when it came out?
Yes. It was cold in Southern California last night.
It was.
And there were people lined up outside of the GameStop across from my house for, I don't know, at about 7 p.m. for the midnight on sale.
That's dedication.
Which is crazy because they're not going to have it today. So, oh, wait. No, but a lot of places do sell out, and then they have to send more. But this is supposed to be one of the biggest games of all time.
Okay.
So that's going to be cool. We have new guilty pleasures. We've done this before, where you're embarrassed. And by the way, you should be, that you like such and such a song. And I figured out what mine is. You're all going to destroy me for it. Because I didn't realize until I was, you know, flipping around the radio yesterday, the one that I always stop on, and that then I immediately think, this song is so crappy.
Right. You would make fun of somebody else if they liked it, but you can't stop yourself because there's something about it that makes you enjoy
it. I'm going to turn it down just to make sure people can't see what I'm listening to. You know, they can't hear it if they pull up to the stoplight or whatever. So anyway, new guilty pleasures on today's show. D.L. Hughley will be on the program today.
Oh, I love him.
Love him so much.
Yeah.
We have Emmanuel Shrieky.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does a voice on Call of Duty Black Ops. Very exciting.
Which is a thin enough reason to have her on for us.
Don't care, yeah. Harrison Ford and how he dressed up for Halloween. I know it's a little late for that, but we just found out some news yesterday about Harrison, so we'll tell you about that.
No one parties like Han Solo, let's face it.
That's true. That
he
is
brings
true.
It.
And also, it's New Music Tuesday, so we've got some highlights for you for that, too. So
okay.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that is next.
Roaming around, I was looking down at all I see.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, our friend Tom Morello stopped by with Boots Riley from the Street Sweeper Social Club at the very end of yesterday's program. Had a great conversation with them. We got a highlight or two for you coming up just after the top of the hour if you are fans of that band like we are. So stick around for that. Right now, Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before we get to showbiz news, let me give away some passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable, new thriller starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine as a veteran conductor and a newbie stuck on a train that's traveling 4 billion miles an hour.
Wow. No.
Is that an accurate number?
Yes. And exciting things happen. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 12th. But if you'd like to go before anybody else to the special Kevin and Bean advance screening, you can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller that gets through gets a pair of passes. And then you can tell all your friends you saw Unstoppable before they did.
What I haven't paid very close attention to this because it looks too exciting for me.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is the train out of control? Did someone take it over and is driving it really, really fast? Or what's happening?
It's on its own without a conductor. And Denzel Washington is the guy that's training Chris Pine. And he's like,
oh, and they have to stop it.
I'm going
to
go stop that train because it's full of chemicals that'll, you know, be ruin the economy. I mean,
the economy.
The environment.
The peso will plummet. The dollar won't be highly valued any longer.
It's like a 400-mile-per-hour
missile. It's a rare economic thriller. You don't see many of those.
Stock prices won't go down.
Inflation will be affected. It's an odd thriller, but still very exciting.
Chairman of the Fed is tied up to a chair. He's sweating.
Yes, we're all very excited. Speaking of Kevin and his magical gift for details.
Thank you, Ralph.
Congratulations to Robert Kingsman, creator of The Walking Dead. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Robert Kirkman. That would be the creator of The Walking Dead. After just two episodes, AMC has renewed his show, The Walking Dead, for a second season of 13 episodes. So we will be watching zombies on AMC for at least another year to come.
Bean's complaint after only two episodes.
Yeah.
We don't have time to get into it in
depth.
Not enough
zombies?
A lot of zombies walking around.
Yeah.
Redundant.
There's a lot of that. I read yesterday, by the way, and tell me if this sounds possible to you guys, the highest 18 to 49 ratings in the history of basic cable.
I believe it.
Yeah.
That show.
Yeah.
So good.
Monster.
But what I'm saying is if you're going to a zombie TV show, zombies are not scary by themselves. It's in groups.
Right.
And they walk slowly. So you shouldn't be
surprised to see that.
Right.
You should expect that
will
happen.
But beyond a zombie show, it's also sort of a drama regarding the dynamics of the group of survivors that have banded together.
No, Bean missed that all together.
That's what's
because he said
the show's about.
There's too many zombies walking around.
Ralph is absolutely right. That's the part of the show I like the most, and I think there's too much of the hour is spent just watching zombies walking around the street. I'm more interested in what the other guys are doing.
Did you think there was too much island on Lost?
Yeah.
There's too many palm trees and too much sand and beaches and stuff.
And then we told him only two have aired. Take it easy, dude. You don't need the whole story. You watched Lost for like 8 years.
Regarding its ratings, what you guys don't understand, I've been trying to convince you of for years. I think I made a little dent earlier this year when we all went to Comic-Con. This comic book series, The Walking Dead, was a phenomenon.
Yeah,
now, it may
that.
Not have been on your radar, but it had a monstrous following, no pun intended. And when it went to television, all those people and more showed up to watch. So that's why it had such significant numbers. But I'm telling you, the geeks are taking over the world. That's what I'm telling you.
You're right.
That is true.
And when I join their ranks, when I become a general in the army.
When you announce that you're in their ranks,
Well, everyone knows I'm in their ranks.
Yeah.
You too, you're going down. You're on the list.
Are we at the top of the list?
Yeah, you're on the list.
But I thought that the rumbling is that you're too geeky, that they don't want you in the geek club.
You know what? You can't be too geeky for the geeks. That's why I love them, and they love me. It's a mutual love fest. Speaking of mutual love, congratulations to Christine McLarty. She is a lucky, lucky girl. She's an entertainment reporter for CBS News here in Los Angeles, and she was married this weekend to Girls Gone Wild producer Joe Francis.
Oh, yeah. What a lucky girl. You're right.
Women everywhere must be weeping that they missed out on the opportunity to marry Joe Francis because he seems like a winner.
I saw that story and I thought, anyone would marry him?
And this girl isn't a bimbo. She doesn't walk around in a bikini down in Cabo, you know, serving those glowing shots off a tray at a club.
Hey, let's not disparage that, first of all.
But you can understand if some bim hooked up with Joe Francis for whatever reason.
Right.
This woman's got a profession.
What is it?
She, once again, is an entertainment reporter for CBS News here in Los Angeles.
I wasn't listening at that point.
I know you weren't. But she's a broadcaster. I mean, she's had a career for some time.
Who is?
She. Oh, never mind. Robert Kingsman. Is who married? Christina McLarty? No, she's single. Never met Joe Francis. Megan Fox.
Oh!
One of my favorite things. combining stories of zombies and hot chicks. This is a perfect follow-up story. She apparently is working on a movie where she plays a broken-hearted zombie trying to find a lover.
Okay.
Yeah. I just hope she's not all decayed and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't like her looking like that.
Yeah. True.
She can be like a hot zombie. She goes to get zombie plastic surgery or something. They put flesh back on her or something.
Do they have that?
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Megan is aware enough to recognize that occult right now is very hot in movies with the Twilight series and everything else. She thinks this could do for zombies what Twilight has done for vampires. I don't know. Zombie sex seems dangerous. Seems like they can start falling off people once you start really going at it, you know?
Yeah. Literally tear someone a new one.
Exactly. Split somebody in half? Yes, literally. This leg over there is a leg over there. Now what do I do? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. Will always be known as the Incredible Hulk to me, personally.
Of course.
Doesn't Lisa do a phenomenal impression of the Hulk?
Oh, she does an impression of Lou Ferrigno. Yeah. Yes.
Let's hear it. He's deaf.
It's my birthday.
Thank you.
There you go. Lou Ferrigno.
She's looking at us like,
I don't know what this...
I know he's deaf.
Okay,
he's,
I didn't know.
I don't recall doing him before.
It's Marley Matlin,
but
basically.
But it's easy.
Yeah. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 41 years old today. Actor Eric Dane celebrates his 38th birthday. Nick Lachey, soon to be married to the lovely Vanessa Minnillo, celebrates his 37th birthday today. Vanessa Minnillo, soon to be married to the lovely Nick Lachey, is 30 years old today. And Cisco, singer Cisco. Cisco, thong, is 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's been a while since we've caught up with our friend D.L. Hughley, but he joins us coming up later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, the beautiful Emmanuel Shriek is going to be here. Shrieky, I guess it is, actually.
Yep.
And we'll talk to the great Wing on the way, too. Harrison Ford making the rounds. Got a new movie coming out this weekend. Have you guys seen the trailer for this? He plays a news anchor. It's called Morning Glory. Seen
that?
Yeah, looks terrible.
Well, I love it.
Well, here's the thing. I hate those morning show programs.
Right.
So automatically I'm out on a movie, no matter how good it is.
Oh, you're probably right. It's probably terrible, but it looks fun to me.
All right.
However, Rachel McAdams
is love her.
So you got to give her credit for that. But anyway, so he's been making the rounds and, you know, doing interviews and whatnot. And I guess it came out, and I guess now photos have surfaced. And maybe we can get Dave to put this up as a picture of the day of Harrison Ford and his wife, Calista Flockhart, out for Halloween. Now, they got a little kid. Please tell me they weren't just dressed up for fun, right? They were out trick-or-treating with a little kid.
Unless
right?
they took the photos without the kid. The photo was just of them.
Right. So. That's why I was wondering about it. But Harrison Ford is not the guy that comes to mind as being, you know, crazy dress-up Halloween guy. Here he is in a nun's habit. So
right.
we thought...
He's dressed like a nun, but, you know, he's married to a much, much, much younger girl. And we were saying, what on earth must that have been like for her to talk him to getting into a nun?
Yeah, because he just doesn't strike
he's
you.
He's not wacky.
Right? Yeah.
Right. He's 80. He wasn't really begging to go out trick-or-treating. He's not really 80, but he seems like it. So we thought, let's find out for the great Harrison Ford ourselves, since we happen to have a good relationship with him, and we have him on the phone now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Ford. Welcome back, sir. How are you? Well, it's great to talk to you as well. We're just talking about Halloween. We just saw the pictures of you and your wife dressed as Miss Piggy.
I'm sorry. Can you hold the phone a little closer or speak up or something? Please?
Yeah.
Because we can't hear you. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're out trick-or-treating. And
you were out trick-or-treating in what? I'm sorry, sir. I lost what you were... You were in...
I don't know what he said, Bean, but I know that they were in a Brentwood neighborhood, so maybe... Okay, so that's
what you're saying.
Brentwood neighborhood. Okay.
So are you a big Halloween fan? I mean, you don't strike us as a guy who would enjoy dressing up, or is this something Mrs. Ford managed to talk you into?
I like to get crazy.
You like to get crazy or you don't?
Yeah, I do.
You do like to get crazy. You like to go off.
Go off.
It's hard to believe that because every time we have a conversation with you, it's almost impossible for us to hear you.
Yeah.
I hear that's true as well.
That is true.
Now, Calista said to me, which costume do you want to wear for Halloween? And I said, none.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, I'm sorry. She said, she asked you what you wanted to be for Halloween.
Yeah.
And you said, none. No costume. You didn't want to wear a costume.
None. no costume.
Okay.
The next thing you know, I'm wearing a nun costume.
Oh, then she means to be a nun. I see what happened there.
Is it possible that...
She didn't understand.
That's what I was going to say. Is it possible that she couldn't understand what you were saying?
Well,
because...
What?
Because we can't either.
Okay, I lost that last part, but we're almost out of time, Harrison, but I have to ask, after you put the kid to bed on Halloween night, did you guys then go out to an adult Halloween party as well? I mean, did you make this just like an all-night thing like you do?
Yeah, we really go on and all the time, and I don't really body gloves and umbrella puffs.
Anyone getting this?
I heard body glove and umbrella puff, but I'm not positive that I heard that correctly.
Got it.
I did get it. Yes. What are the chances? Why would you say those words?
We
they don't even
know
make
what
sense.
They mean.
Come on, you don't know the umbrella puff.
The umbrella puff?
No.
Yeah, it's like the wobbly H.
Oh, wow! Callista's a lucky lady,
right?
I'm a Cleveland steamer.
Yes,
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
So you did. You dressed up like a nun just so that she'd be happy, so that then you could have her way your way with her later.
Got an endless part of this time, and then shopping. With the heart and the crack in his mouth.
What? I didn't get one word of that except crack.
Yep.
Was crack right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Smoking it?
Smoking crack, is that?
Not run again, okay.
This is not working, I don't
think. Run a mic and make wallpaper.
Well, happy Halloween to you too.
I didn't say that.
How would we know?
We don't know.
Halloween's over.
What you said. Well, we just got the picture. Right. That's why we got the picture just now. Yeah. So that's why we're bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell Omar to shut up. We can hear him.
Omar, be quiet.
Okay, thank you.
You are listening to the Kevin Amin Show on a Tuesday. Tuesday, you know, very exciting day. Particularly for me, I always look forward to the new releases coming out in stores. For instance, the CeeLo Green is coming out today. The guy who, you know, from Narwhal's Barkley who does the FU song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Is that version on there, or is it the Forget You version?
Oh, no, no, no. CeeLo don't play with the radio ad.
Excellent.
Come on, man.
Excellent.
So it's the real FU. Kid Cudi's album comes out today, and just for you, Kevin, the new Susan Boyle finally drops.
Oh,
I know you've been looking forward to that for a long time, so that's happening
don't
today.
Don't buy it. I'm going to get it for you for Christmas.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now I can re-gift it.
Now, this one may be flying a little bit under the radar. If you're tooling around iTunes or something today and you don't see prominently displayed that there's a brand new album out from Wing, today is the day, ladies and gentlemen. Wing Han Seng, who I think we decided a long time ago was from Hong Kong, but has really made her mark on the music industry in New Zealand. How old do you reckon Wing is?
65.
That's probably about
honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
And she started singing as a hobby a few years ago and was playing nursing homes. And somebody, for some reason, said, hey, make a record. Well, this new album that we're about to preview for you.
It was Matt and Trey for South Park. That's where we found her.
Well, that's our.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right. That's how we found out about him. But somebody years before that said, hey, you're awesome. You should start making records. And her new one is her 18th album, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. 18th? I was guessing a dozen.
Albums.
That's impressive.
Yeah, she has paid tribute to Elvis, to ABBA, to the Beatles, to AC/DC. She's done Christmas songs. This new one, though, is a little bit of everything, and Wing is very, very happy with the new one. In fact, she believes it's the best album she's ever done.
Hello, this is Wing. I'm so happy you are listening to my latest album. All my albums are very nice.
That's right.
But I believe this is one of the best.
Okay.
Listen to this album anytime you want. Put it in your stereo system when you have a safe party.
Okay, put it in your stereo system when you have a safe party. Now, the album is called Wing Sings for All the Single Ladies and Raps for All the Safe Parties. Forgive me, what's a safe party? Is this a cultural phenomenon that's going on that I'm not aware of?
She's just saying don't drink and party. She says if you're going
to
have...
Yeah, we talked to her last time around and she talked about that, didn't she? About... How the kids
that's
are using
thing?
Drugs.
Don't party.
And,
yeah. So now it's Wing sings for all the single ladies and raps for all the safe parties.
Yes.
Okay. So she goes on a little bit in the intro, and then we'll hear some of her fantastic new music.
Or listen by yourself with your favorite peck.
Now, her favorite, your favorite peck, I think she's talking about animals in
my
the
left
house, right?
Peck or my right peck?
I think she might have meant pets there.
Oh, pet.
And isn't there a song on there about her dog, too? Isn't she, like, really, like, is this her psychedelic phase? Is that where we're at right now?
The first song is titled Doggy and Me.
Oh.
Now, I don't know. Because that could easily go either way, if you know what I'm saying.
I hope my singing and rapping gives you great happiness, relaxation, and peace.
I don't think happiness, relaxation, and peace is the kind of my doggy and me that you're implying. I think really she's talking more about a pet and owner type of relationship.
She's talking more about an eater and dinner.
Oh, oh no.
All right, now, I don't have time to focus on all of the songs. I do have three of them. And I have the original so that you can compare and contrast.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Hear
great.
Her style.
So Single Ladies... When we heard she was doing that, our heads almost exploded because you know the original. All right, so she did that one, and we are now in the process of begging her to do a music video. As that's
she's got to do the dance, right?
Yes. You saw that one parodied on YouTube 5 billion times. She has to do it. So that was the song. That's the original. Here now, the stylings of Wing. I don't think Beyonce is saying up, up, up either.
I also the massage parlor beats in the back.
and the other thing that I wonder about somebody like Wing, and we've spoken with her before, and by the way, we'll talk to her again later today on the Kevin and Bean Show. She seems to understand English, but she also sounds like one of those singers who sings phonetically because it doesn't sound like she's interpreting the lyrics at all as if she knows what they're about or what they mean.
I'd be willing to bet she's never heard any of these songs.
That's possible also.
Probably true, yeah.
I mean, you know, she does all the singles. She does Aquarius. She does Everything I Do It For You.
You know, I have a theory that she doesn't listen to the songs because she doesn't want them to influence her style.
Oh, I see.
Because she has such a unique style.
Yeah.
Very possible.
She has What the World Needs Now is Love. She has Total Eclipse of the Heart. But there's two others that I'd like to focus on. One is Black and White by Michael Jackson.
Okay.
And this part of the song is what killed me because there are certain times, Michael Jackson, love him or hate him, when he puts out a song, there's harmony upon harmony upon harmony upon sometimes a black choir, sometimes a rock guitar. I mean, he really layers it thick, so I wondered how she was going to handle that. For example, this is this part of Black and White. All right, so it's got kind of a good jam going there. You know, you got the drums, you got the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He's screaming. How is she going to handle that?
I'm tired. I'm tired of this twist and this show when you're going back up. I ain't scared of your bladder. I ain't scared of no shit.
Did she say I'm not scared of your bladder?
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that last word perhaps was something maybe that can't be on.
She said sheet. Sheet.
Did she? Yeah. I'm not scared of your sheet?
Michael Jackson's talking about racism, so I think he says I'm not sheet, meaning
like a
KKK.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope.
She did say bladder, though, right?
She did. And that's not
I don't remember that.
Look, I think she said sheet just to protect ourselves, but
okay.
I do think that's
what I love is that if that God had the choice to take one of these two singers home.
He made the right choice.
He chose Michael Jackson to die and Wing to live to make another album.
He made the right choice.
I ain't scared of nobody, girl, when you're going at me.
So you can see that she really rocks that one.
Oh, yeah.
Here's another one from Michael Jackson. It's called The Earth Song. This was not a big hit.
It's a terrible song, that's why.
It's a terrible song. But Michael Jackson does it, and this is the one where he really, like, he's got a full-on black choir singing. I mean, he really, and that's, I was wondering again how Wing was going to do that. Good song or not, if you're a soloist, I don't know you want to cover that one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Pick Man in the Mirror or something. I mean, for God's sakes, how do you do that?
What about yesterday? What about the seas? Heavens are falling down. I can even breathe.
I'm pretty sure she said Kevins are falling down. And that's pretty accurate as well.
What about the breathing?
Oh.
And I love Rappy McRapperson, her producer, and we've spoken with him on the Kevin and Bean Show before, because at some point he's in a studio or has access to the master tapes for that song, and he listens to it and he goes, done. Check that one off.
Right,
we're finished with that one.
Thumbs
That's ready.
Up. Nice job. Yep. So you can buy this one, and we would suggest you do, because it's worse than we've had time to give you, you know, a sample of.
How dare you? She's a treasure.
You can get this on iTunes, right, Bean?
Yes.
Or you can go to her website, which is wingmusic.co.nz.
And what is the name of this particular album?
Wing sings for all the single ladies and raps for all the safe
for
parties.
All the safe parties. All right.
Yeah.
Now you know.
So good luck
Christmas.
With that. Buy it. Give it to somebody for Christmas. This is going to be the runner. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Oh! I know it's very popular to pile on Kevin, make fun of Kevin. You know,
no.
He's the retarded kid. But
no.
Dare you. Let's give him some credit for leaving Call of Duty Black Ops at home and coming to work today. I'm surprised he's even here, to be honest, because it is practically
Stepping
a national
up.
Holiday.
Stepping up.
And we will talk to G4's Adam Sessler about that new game available today, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I just left Call of Duty 4 at 4 o'clock in the morning. I came to work.
What did you do?
I may not have been very sharp on Friday morning show. Not too sharp.
I mean, when you left the strip club in Vegas at 4 a.m. and then got to work just moments before we went on the air?
Well, no, that was good, in my opinion. I mean,
all right.
Was I there on time?
Yes.
All right.
But back to being sharp. The point of the conversation was your sharpness.
But I'm not sharp.
Or lack thereof. No, that was good. And Robert Kingsman agrees. Did we have that moment with Kevin yet?
No.
What happened?
Where is that?
I thought it was worked on in the lab yesterday.
We have a separate moment with Kevin.
They were working on different ones.
I was not aware we wanted to make that into a moment. I think we wanted to isolate that whole break and just the
distill it down?
Yeah, the highlights of that break.
All well, right. The intro and my one question... We're both moments with.
Yes. Mean,
they were both just horrible.
Yes.
All right.
But that, in my defense, that was by the end of the show. I was about to die.
Wait, it was the end of the show for all of us.
That's true.
We all carried on.
That's a good point.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Before I do, I've got more passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable. This is about a train that is easily stopped. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's unstoppable. I should have gotten that from the title.
I should not be stopped.
I should have distilled that. Denzel Washington, Chris Pine star. It's in theaters everywhere November the 12th. If you're the first caller to get through at 1-800-520-1067, you get a pair of passes to Kevin and Bean's advanced screening of Unstoppable. You get to see it before anybody else. That Denzel, he's dreamy.
He is. I love his movies, too. Anything he's in, I like.
He is super talented and a very handsome fella.
Yep.
I like him enormously. Charlie Sheen's a douchebag.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Charlie Sheen had his meltdown, tore up the Plaza hotel room, scared a poor crack whore into locking herself into the bathroom, or porn star, whatever she is. Destroyed property, went ape-ass, basically.
This is a mess.
And any right-thinking human being, anybody with half a sense of shame, would be embarrassed.
Right.
Not our boy Charlie.
Standing by it?
If you caught him on Extra last night, but they interviewed him coming off the set of Two and a Half Men. He just filmed his first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this was simply a case of one guy having a bad night and everybody else panics.
That was
he's underselling that, according to the police reports.
That was his take on the event. He also said, no, he hadn't found the watch, but when you have expensive taste, you have to expect expensive losses.
Oh. In fact, if you see him, punch him right in the balls.
Yeah.
So it was no big deal.
No, everybody's overreacting. Just because he had $7,000 worth of damage to a hotel room and scared a poor girl into locking herself into the bathroom because she feared her life.
One guy,
he have a bad night. Everybody goes nuts.
He was demanding from her the
chili dog.
No, he wasn't. He wanted his watch back.
Oh.
And he still hasn't found it, people. So if you're out there, please keep an eye out for Charlie's watch, won't you? Because Charlie needs our help.
He did insist on the
dirty Sanchez.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I'd be very concerned where that watch is, knowing how crazy Charlie is in the bedroom.
No, he didn't.
He should check his own ass. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that's right. There's no room for it. His head's still up there. He was acting as if we are all just crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not like, wow, I have a major substance and alcohol abuse problem, and I've destroyed property and scared a young girl.
Maybe I need to be more careful.
Into thinking that her life was in danger. Maybe I need to reevaluate. Maybe I take a look at the man in the mirror, in the words of Michael Jackson.
Maybe I shouldn't have demanded the
rusty trombone.
I think you're missing my point entirely.
Right.
The David Arquette-Courtney Cox divorce, the pending divorce, is, to me, the perfect example of men versus women. Male versus female. The thought processes of the fairer sex versus those of our own, boys.
Okay.
David Arquette, as you know, is out boozing, whoring, dancing with topless midget strippers, boning somebody else every night. And then continually saying in the press, I really love my wife and I hope we get back together.
But they're on a break, so he can do whatever he wants. Right.
Courtney Cox, they asked her if she was back in the single scene. She goes, no, I just really need some rest and relaxation. The whole thing's just starting to sink in, so there's been no late night parties for me. I'm just sort of trying to find some peace and just figure out what's going on. And that's how a woman deals with a breakup.
Yeah.
Plus, she has a child to care for.
Sure.
Whatever.
Who's that?
Kids.
And also, I mean, it plays a role that she has a job.
And she's working, yeah.
That's true. But my thing is, even if those weren't the case, forget the kids, forget the job. Women, after the breakup, sit down, take a respectful amount of time after a relationship, try to figure out what went wrong. They're rational about it. A guy, I don't care how long he's married, I don't care what's going on. The minute that thing is over, he's out in the bars dancing with the midget strippers and swinging from the chandelier.
Well, there's a saying, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Well, he's taking full advantage of that. But I just read that story and said, that is so prototypical of how men and women react at the end of a relationship.
You know,
and he may still love her, I don't know, but it doesn't matter because once that ring is off, it's like you release a guy of a collar.
Yeah. It's all over. He's just going to go crazy.
Truly hilarious. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Nikki Blonsky. You know her?
Fat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she both those. I don't know. Yes, and fat.
Hairspray.
Hairspray.
Oh, okay.
She is 22 years old today. Vanessa Minnelli.
Oh, my God.
That I don't know.
Is Dirty 30.
Woohoo.
Nice.
Her fiance, Nick Lachey, is Dirty 37. That doesn't quite work.
No.
It? No. They share a birthday.
You know what they did last night?
Hot.
Carl.
Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy. He's 38 years old today. I'll get it out, Lisa. All That's right.
He's McCreamy. Which one is he?
He is McCreamy, yes.
McSteamy.
Ew.
McCreamy's a whole different series.
He's McLeaky, I think. he's got a colostomy bag.
Oh.
Peppa Salt. Peppa is 41 years old today. And actor Lou Ferrigno. The Incredible Hulk. We'll be right back. They said he's doing that when they go to commercials on that show, when it first aired.
They did?
Yeah. The Incredible Hulk. We'll be right back. It was Lou Ferrigno.
Wow.
It's awesome. He is 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, there. Glad to be there. I'm willing to give you 5 minutes before I get back to the game.
I was wondering, this is one of those gaming events that literally makes a difference in the economy. I mean, this is the type of game that's so big and so anticipated that there are people who plan their days off around it and just call in sick, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, I know people who work at G4, which is, you know, an easy place to play video games.
Right.
And still, they want to stay home and play this one.
We've done call-in topics before, Beans Right, where we have person after person after person. Yeah, I've been playing since midnight.
Yep.
And yeah, that's right.
And I got 2 days off, and I'm going to finish.
Now, Modern Warfare 2, is that the current bestseller of the recent crop of highly anticipated games, and is Black Ops the one that's going to overtake that?
Yes, I believe Modern Warfare 2 does hold that spot. I have good confidence that Black Ops will take that. They've done a very good job sort of getting the word out about it, and those trailers for it look really good. And
at the
end of the day, the game itself is really, really good. In fact, the multiplayer, which is really the heart and soul of Call of Duty, is a real improvement over Modern Warfare 2. It's almost as if Modern Warfare 2 was kind of a testing ground to figure out what works, what doesn't, and what you're seeing now is the very, very good result.
It's a much, much better upgrade, huh?
Oh, yes. I mean, they removed things that made the game unbalanced, and they added in new elements that can sort of allow you to personalize that multiplayer experience instead of you always trying to be, you know, there's only 10 guys in the world that always were on those leaderboards, and there's a way in which you can feel that you're somehow accomplishing something in your own small little way.
Right, even though you're not, because there's 10 guys that are blowing you away.
And you're playing a video game.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I have read in some of the kind of early press leading up to release today is that there's a million subtle changes that do, as you say, Adam, personalize the game for you, things that you've never been able to do before that aren't maybe on their own that big a deal, but put them all together and it's an entirely different experience for you.
Especially if you're a big fan of the series. You know, there's always those small things like, that just wasn't there, this would be better. I mean, a classic one is that if you want to play a private match with just your friends, where in the past, if you said, okay, knives only, it was an honor system, and now like you can actually impose that upon the match where people can only use knives. Those are just small things that help tailor the game to how you and your friends want to play it together.
And it's available for all formats?
For the PS3 and the 360. You're not going to be playing this puppy on the Wii right now, or probably
ever. Or Nintendo DS, you don't want to, really. Too small.
That would be a strange experience.
Yeah.
What? Tell me about the voices for this year's game. I know we're talking to Emmanuel later on today. Who else they got?
Ice Cube is prominent in it. It was one of those, I completely forgot sort of the cast of celebrities that they have in the game. I'm like, I know this voice. And at first I thought it was a friend. And I was thinking of the 90s. And I'm like, no, I just listened to all of his music back then.
Right, sure. That was Ice Cube, the guy that you thought was your friend?
Well, you
nice.
Know, it was a familiar warm sound of modest anger.
Sure.
And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was me when I was angry, too.
Yeah, look, we've all met Adam. He's a G. Come on, we know.
Yeah. He rolls deep.
That rolls deeper than the cess.
So that's good. You got Ice Cube. Who else?
You know what? I'm actually blanking on some of those names. I bet you have a sheet right in front of you to list
I wish
them out.
I did. Being to you.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was curious.
That'd be cool.
Because,
someone
that's
new.
That's what big business these things are becoming, is that the Hollywood stars are dying to get into them the way they used to be dying to get into the big movies.
And what's kind of neat is a lot of these guys are fans of these games. And they kind of jockey to, you know, have their voice in a game that they themselves actually want to play. It's kind of a very nice synergy between those two elements.
I think McLovin is one of them, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, McLovin, right.
Yeah, what about the cardinal rule is not don't ask a question if you don't know the answer, but I'm going to do that anyway.
Okay.
What about the music?
The music is neat because the game takes place, the single player part of the game takes place during the Cold War. It's kind of like a greatest hits reel of all the hotspots for about a 40-year period. And there's quite a few sequences in Vietnam, and there is one that, you know, you can tell what's being taken from, where you're going up the Mekong Delta, blowing things apart, and Sympathy for the Devil is playing.
Yeah.
You get that. Cool. There's some pretty Clearwater revival. And it's a very strong musical score, and it definitely does give a sense of place and time to the game.
How many different ways are there to kill in Black Ops?
Primarily you're using a gun.
Enough.
The way in which you see people die, this is one of the goriest games, or at least a game that's sort of within the realm of reality. It's quite brutally violent, and there's a couple of sequences that actually made me wince.
All right.
It's definitely not one for the kiddies.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a surprise.
Like Adam will be playing it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. This is the voice of Adam Sessler from X-Play on G4 talking about Call of Duty Black Ops available today. I haven't seen this in a while, but from time to time, a game will come out that just sells out. They underestimate or maybe intentionally create a scarcity for the headlines or something like that, and it's tough to buy. We're just a few weeks away from Christmas. What's the availability going to be like for the new Call of Duty in the weeks to come?
This should not be a problem. If, for whatever reason, one store doesn't have it, try another store. I mean, they know how popular this game is, and they want to make as much money on this game as, you know, before the end of the year.
Sure.
I wouldn't be too worried. If you're looking for something like Microsoft's Kinect, which is kind of a piece of hardware that takes a while to be manufactured, that can be a different story, as we saw with the Nintendo Wii about 4 years ago.
And the Kinect, by the way, and I know we don't have time to get into it any kind of in-depth here, is blowing people away that are using it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like to stand up and wave your arms around, it is exactly what you need.
Oh, that's the one that has sensors and tells what you're doing, and then
exactly. there's no control.
It responds. Yeah, exactly.
There's no controls. You stand up, and like you can simulate things like jumping and ducking, and there's actually one where you can have a pet tiger, and you can pet it a lot.
All right.
One more thing, Adam, since you're kind enough to come on. Please tell us, because there are many of us, especially in this room, who are DirecTV subscribers, what is the latest with your battle with G4?
Unfortunately, I'm just going to sort of reserve judgment on that. If you want to see sort of the comments from Neil Tiles, our president of the network, it's right there on g4tv.com. He is far more eloquent than I when it comes to matters such as that.
For folks who don't know, an agreement was not reached. G4 has not been on DirecTV since the start of the month. They pulled the channel.
Yes, that is true. That has happened.
Adam, do you think that's because of your influence?
You know what? I've always decided that most world problems are somehow come back to me.
There's a conference room, and they're all Sessler. We got to do something about Sessler.
And I'm going to say one more thing, by the way. And again, I know I speak for a lot of people here. Look, Adam, you're a great guy, and I enjoy your show, and I like Attack of the Show too very much. But don't take away my International Sexy Lady show. You start pulling that off the TV. Now you've got me to deal with, and believe me, I'm writing my share of strongly worded letters to the network. All right.
All right. In the meantime, I'll put on a skirt, run on over there,
good.
And try to keep you happy.
By the way, Japanese, what is it? Ninja Warrior is
Ninja Warrior.
A great
Oh, great. Hot show, yeah. Right. So all right. Well, if you can still get G4, please do. Host and editor-in-chief of X-Play is our friend Adam Sessler, talking about Call of Duty Black Ops, available everywhere. Adam, as always, thank you for the time, sir.
My pleasure.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I forgot to mention a second ago while we were talking about Call of Duty Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
That they've got a lot of great commercials up, and one of them includes Kobe Bryant of the Lakers and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah?
Jimmy Kimmel shoots a land-to-air missile, and it knocks him right on his ass. It's great. So go to kevinandbean.com. You can check that out. Should be right at the top of the page. You can check out the video.
By the way, why the ops got to be black? Anyone ask that? Because to me, that's racist,
Those
man.
Are the good ones, man.
Here's a news story. By the way, D.L. Hughley coming up in about a half an hour or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat in minutes as well. We're going to need your participation on this story. Here's the very latest one that I have come across of people who are coworkers who have sex. That's not that unusual, by the way. A lot of coworkers hook up, 'cause let's face it, that's where you meet people. But having sex in the workplace, at your job. By the way, one in five coworkers who have a relationship say they have had sex at work.
One in five.
One in five. How about
Who's holding back?
Man, what are they doing?
They're uptight or something, man. This is particular story that caught my attention, made me start thinking about it, is to Mill Creek, which is a Seattle suburb, Washington. Police officers have resigned after they were caught having sex while on duty. They were both police officers, and they would get together during either during investigations or when they were both out on patrol. They had sex at least a dozen times everywhere from a nature preserve to a construction site to an abandoned house. They have both resigned. Now, they had the luxury and the flexibility in their relationship of being able to be out on the road. It's a lot easier. I mean, their job site is the whole city, right?
Right,
so
sure.
It's a lot easier for them to find a place.
They could go to a hotel. They could go to one of their homes.
Yeah.
And still be working.
Yeah.
What about the people who actually are doing it with their partner at work, though? New survey has come out, the one where they tell you that one in five who are in relationships have had sex at work, talking about the most popular places to have sex in the office. Now, some of these won't apply to you. For instance, if you don't work at a television studio, you're not going to be having sex in an editing bay. But apparently among people who working at TV studios, an editing bay is a great place you can go where, you know, it's quiet and nobody else is supposed to be in there and you get a couple of minutes privacy.
Can I guess some of the other places in offices?
I'd be curious to see if you can guess what the number one place is that people have had sex.
All right. Bathroom, I would think.
Bathroom is on the list. And on this list, it is listed at number eight. And there's an asterisk that says a disabled person's lavatory is the preferred bathroom because it's bigger. Yeah, you get a lot more room.
Right. Just,
but you're also having sex on a toilet, though, which maybe
You're not. You don't. Those are big enough spaces. You don't have to involve the toilet.
Yeah, but then you're laying on a bathroom floor. Not a lot of good options.
You don't have to lay down.
In the lavatory. Well, there is that, too.
There's no laying down in a bathroom. Yes, Lisa.
Just from experience, I used to work in a high-rise.
Yes.
And, you know, if you went out of the suite, there was a phone room in the hallway.
Nice.
With all the wires and everything. Nobody ever went in there.
Oh. Switchboard room.
Yeah.
I was going to guess for those that are in management, you know, your
office.
If you have an office.
Sure. Under the desk.
You could probably lock it and do it anywhere or everywhere.
Your office is number two on list.
Wow.
Number two on this list. Against the filing cabinet is number three on this list.
Just any filing cabinet?
The Xerox room.
On a rooftop or balcony, number five, which is, you know, technically at work, but hey, let's run upstairs up the ladder, get onto the roof
and knock
this out and come back.
I got number one. In David Letterman's office.
Number six is a sofa, which I guess is awfully convenient.
We're not asking for furniture.
Well, that's weird. File cabinet is weird.
It's got to be in an office, right?
Kitchen comes in at number seven on the list.
Yeah.
Number one, by the way, is, and tell me, this is, they say 25% in this survey say they have sex, and they have to be doing it just for the psychological FU of having sex on the boss's desk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number one is on the boss's desk.
That is a lie.
Most of them are lying to be funny. Because really, I don't know how many people.
How often is that available to you?
The boss is the first one to go home.
Here, it's available all the time.
Yeah, there's only 3 days a month you can't have sex at the boss's desk at our station. But, I mean, maybe that's what it is. It'd be awesome once he or she leaves. Let's go in there and wreck the place.
All right, let's take one call, and then we're going to take some more. It's you and a coworker, or you know of, you know, two coworkers. It can't just be you work at the Gap and your girlfriend comes in on your lunch break or whatever. We're talking about you both work there, and you do it at your place of business. And we're going to start with Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Tell us about your story.
Well, we're both high school teachers, and on our prep period, that's when you have no kids, we did it in the science, like, pod area.
Science! There you go. Well done. So this is actually during school hours while you guys are supposed to be planning your lessons for, you know, for later in the day.
Exactly. It was awesome.
And you can now you can lock it, I imagine?
No.
Awesome.
We didn't. You can't. Not, okay, we didn't.
You didn't. You wanted to get caught, you dirty thing. I love you.
Or she hates teaching.
Yeah.
Was part of the thrill, I mean, part of it is, oh my God, I have to have you right now. But was part of it the thrill of doing it at work and getting away with it and then being able to, you know, walk back out into the hall and nobody knows what you've done?
Oh, exactly. If we got caught, our credentials would have been taken away. Yeah.
But you didn't lock the door and you could have.
Right. It was kind of the thrill, exactly.
That's weird.
Fantastic.
Now, one time or more than one?
It was just one time.
All right, good enough.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Sarah, thank you for the call. All right,
you're
so
a great American, Sarah. You're a great American.
1-800-520-1067. Look, everyone's banged a coworker. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about banging a coworker where you both work. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R... Sorry, I have a cough. K-R-O-Q at 7:39.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in minutes. Right now we're talking about, and I can't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't remember that we've ever done this phone topic before.
No.
Co-workers who have sex at work, actually on the job, preferably during business hours while there are other people there and you could be caught.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that's what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. Back in the news because a couple of Washington State police officers who had to resign when it turned out that they were having sex on the job. We just have to go through these as fast as we can because we just got a million of them. Let's start with Charlotte. She's on line 7, and she's got a great story for us to get us going. Hey, Charlotte, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hi.
So I used to cook in a restaurant with another female cook, and we have a big walk-in refrigerator, so we just couldn't handle it one night and went in there and locked the door and kind of went to town.
A walk-in refrigerator. Now, are you limited by time in that particular instance just because you're getting colder by the minute?
Sure.
Are you keeping each other warm?
Not so much because it was getting colder, but more because we had orders stacking up and people looking for us.
They're waiting for their meal. I'm sure they're swamped back there, honey.
That does make me feel good about the food that's coming out of the kitchen. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Knowing that you've been laying on top of it.
Right. Nothing like fine dining, right?
That's right.
That's what you were doing. Sure. Exactly. Thank you very much, Charlotte. Let's try James. This is awesome. Line 1. James, you're a paramedic. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And how about your partner?
What's his name?
It was a female.
Oh.
I got paired up with a female after having a male partner for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we started hitting things off. We started hooking up outside of work. And then we heard about something called the Code 3 Club. And
I'm sorry, the Code 3 what?
Code 3 Club.
Club, okay.
You run Code 3, that's with your lights and sirens. So we got one of our friends to hop in the driver's seat, and we got on the gurney, and, you know, we did our thing while we drove around town with the lights and sirens.
Love it.
Oh, my God.
In an ambulance that's speeding through traffic. What a rush that must have been.
Was there a patient? Did you have to kick the patient out of the bed? You lay down here for a minute.
That's fantastic.
A couple of options, but definitely not a patient.
That's great.
Great call, man. Thank you very much. Let's try Ralph, line 3. All Ralphs are perverts. We've learned
that's
that.
True.
Let's see what you've got to offer the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey. What's going on? Mola Verga, you Santa Monica.
All right. Yeah. Long time. Well done.
Wow, I missed that guy.
Let's try John, line 4. We were talking about doing it on the boss's desk. That was number 1 on the list of one survey that we read about coworkers hooking up at the office. John, was that your situation in the boss's office?
Yeah, I was in the boss's office. We weren't married at the time, but my ex-wife and I, we hooked up, and her boss went to lunch, so I told her not to wear underwear underneath her dress when she went to work that morning. And
I like the planning. I like the advanced planning.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I knew what I wanted.
All right.
So, like, now, Now I'm an electrician, so I wanted to tell Lisa that I do have access to most of the electrical rooms in the high-rises in downtown.
There you go. Excellent. Right. So, they are very handy.
So when the boss came back from lunch, knowing that you had soiled the desk, I mean, that must have been tough to not crack up all day long every time you looked in that office.
Well, it was the spot on the floor, actually.
Oh, on the floor.
You don't even do the desk?
Yeah,
come on.
No.
My rejection
was
total.
It was a glass desk, so we didn't want to leave butt cheek imprints on it.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That makes
that's
a lot of
not
sense.
A good point. That would have been funnier. She comes back from lunch and there's butt cheek marks.
I wanted to stay employed.
Oh, well, there's that. All right. Thank you, John.
Let's take Daniel. Daniel's lucky enough to have a job where it's already dark. Hi, Daniel. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What happened?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I used to be actually a projectionist at a local movie theater, and just one of the coworkers, you know, caught my eye. We got to talking, and one night I just snuck her up to the projection room as the last few movies were rolling, and we just did our business there.
Pretty good location. Can't beat that. Very good.
Now, did anything fail because you weren't paying attention? The movie run out halfway through or anything?
Maybe a couple of late starts.
Okay. Worth it.
We kept it, pretty quiet.
Totally worth it.
Kevin, next time you're in the theater waiting for a 9 o'clock movie and it's like 9:15,
yeah,
look around and see if maybe Daniel's up there in the
glance
booth.
Glance up there and go, well, who's having sex up there? Let's get this going.
Let's do one more. Eric is on line 5. Yeah, Eric. Yeah, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, no pun intended, but I had access to a rehab facility, and myself and two other coworkers got into the hot tub and knocked it out.
Had a threesome?
Really?
Yep.
Were the other coworkers girls?
Fortunately, yes.
Okay, good. Now, you said you had access. Were you in rehab, or you just worked at the facility?
I used to work at the facility.
Okay.
But you don't anymore.
You didn't at the time of the threesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, that doesn't count at all then. That's completely irrelevant to the conversation.
No. Did they work at the place?
Yes, they worked at the place as
Okay, you're right. Back in, Eric.
Good
you're
enough.
Back in.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Threesome in the hot tub. 106.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:54.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
With a brand new album.
It's kind of like a Jamaican feel to it. Nice. Yeah. I feel like I'm in... Nassau kicking back with a red stripe.
She's not a phrasing Scientologist, is she?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I disagree. I think Wing is a phrasing Scientologist.
Here's what I was thinking about last night. Not only did I say it wrong because I meant scientist,
yes,
but phrasing scientist doesn't make sense.
No, there are no there's no science of phrasing.
Even if I had said that correctly, what I meant to say wouldn't have made sense.
No.
So, good times.
And by the way, we if it weren't for the listeners.
I know, F you listeners.
We don't catch any of them anymore. I don't know what's going on, but
we're completely
numb to it. Yes, we don't even hear the magic that Kevin provides for us every single day. The listeners are the ones, once again, who tipped us off to phrasing Scientologists. None of us even noticed it.
And how quickly? Within 30 seconds after we get the first
thing.
Yeah, F you all.
Kevin got his Bachelor of Science, I think, at Arizona State in phrasing science.
So, good times indeed. All right, comedian D.L. Hughley joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Always a very funny guest. Looking forward to catching up with him. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin DeBean Show. What's happening?
Oh, it's on.
What's on?
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Another Showbiz fight?
Jessica Alba did an interview with Elle Magazine in which she said, I kid you not, the following words. Here's a quote from Elle Magazine. Good actors never use the script, unless it's amazing writing. All the good actors I've worked with say whatever they want to say.
I'm sorry.
What?
Who said that?
Jessica Alba.
But that's
dramatic
not
legend
true.
Jessica Alba.
She's been in lots of movies where she's had to read scripts.
I'm guessing she can't remember her lines.
Oh, this is her excuse.
And so she is rationalizing it away by saying, oh, actors never really follow the script. They just say what they want to say. Well, as you can imagine, there's a few screenwriters out there in the world who did not appreciate that.
Of course.
One of which was a writer named John August. And he's written a bunch of stuff, especially for Tim Burton. He's done Big Fish, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Corpse Bride. Worked with Tim Burton a bunch. And so he posted on his blog a lengthy reply.
All right.
Which I will just read you a little bit of. Following your logic, you've never been in a movie with both good actors and amazing writing. That may be true, but it might hurt the feelings of David Wayne, Robert Rodriguez, and Frank Miller.
Screenwriters can be your best friends. We are pushovers for attractive people who pay attention to us. I wrote that bathtub scene in Big Fish because Jessica Lange made brief eye contact with me. So if you're not getting great writing, and honestly, you're not, ask to have lunch with a screenwriter. I've seen you in interviews. You're charming. That charm could work wonders. And he goes on and on and on. But
that's
I thought it was
funny.
Very funny. But Jessica Alba, of all people,
yes.
to abandon the written word because she's got some other dramatic idea that she needs to fly with in a movie? That's some scary stuff right there.
If you're making a list of actors who could and should do that.
Right.
She's not on it.
No. She should just follow very carefully to whatever they tell her to do. Because under the best of circumstances, she just gets by.
Yeah.
But I thought that was funny. Charlie Sheen, of course, had that big meltdown in that hotel room at the Plaza in New York City.
You used the word meltdown.
Well, he did destroy the suite,
right,
causing $7,000 worth of damage.
He uses the word fun.
His little paid escort went running into the bathroom and locked herself in because she was afeared for her life.
Well, there was that.
He was juiced out of his head and had cocaine in his bloodstream. When the cops showed up, they had to button his shirt for him so they could drag him to the hospital.
This is a mess.
I'm just saying, it's enough of a disaster that an average person might feel a little remorse, a little shame, a little public humiliation.
That would be a low point ever in my life.
Right. Well, yeah, right. But he, not his life. But even so, when he gets sober, I'm with Ralph, he should say, you know, I was out
wow.
of control.
This is embarrassing. I might want to take a personal inventory, as they say in the 12-step programs.
But I think with Sheen, if he hasn't strangled a woman, he feels like he's been on pretty good behavior.
Night. Look, if she walks away, it's a good night. That's what Charlie's thinking. Anyway, he was on Extra last night, and I think he is lacking in the shame department.
Zing ha-chow.
What's going on with you?
Doing great.
How do you always know what gate we're going to come out of?
A guy has one bad night, and everybody goes insane and panics, and, you know, I'm not panicking.
And Charlie's apparently not worried at all about that missing $150,000 watch.
It's still missing, but the way I look at it is if you have expensive taste, you got to be prepared for expensive losses. So it is what it is. Just finished the show, and that's about it. Back to work. Everything's good. Everything's good. What people should be excited about is tonight's episode of Two and a Half Men. Mom's birthday.
Oh, shut up. It is Mom's birthday, in his defense.
Oh, look, everyone's going crazy. One bad night.
I had a bad night, so.
So what? I lost the watch. So what? Hey, if you're so nonchalant about the watch, why were you tearing the walls down at the Plaza Hotel? Charlie.
We talked to Dr. Drew about it last week. Charlie Sheen is one of those rare types who manages to be, apparently, a completely functioning addict. When he's working, like in that interview, he sounds as sober as you or I right now.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he's, you know, walking around like David Hasselhoff seems to sometimes, where he just can't get a sentence out his whole life.
He was leaving the studio, though, in a car. Did anyone check the trunk of that car?
Ah, good point.
I'm guessing there was a porn star in there, duct taped, tied up.
Could be.
Desperately looking for a rescue.
He's like I am, a highly functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, well, except for the highly functioning
right.
part, you have a lot in common.
What
Absolutely.
Did you do?
Who's Robert Kingsman? who created the movie The Walking Dead?
All right, let's move on.
Actually, it's Robert Kirkman, Kevin, and he wrote the comic book, the TV series.
I have time right now to rehash Friday.
I do not care. Four o'clock strip club.
I can't read my writing.
Yeah, it was my writing. I couldn't read you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Lou Ferrigno. He was the Incredible Hulk, don't you know?
Yeah.
He's 59 years old today. Still swole, isn't he, Mike?
Still looking beautiful, broad-shouldered and muscular. Oh.
He was Arnold's main competition in Mr. Universe? What competition was that?
The Olympia. Was it 75? Pumping Iron.
Pumping Iron's the movie, if you ever want to check that out. Fascinating how intimidated Lou gets by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just makes him feel miserable.
Yeah, because no matter how buff he was still deaf. And Arnold was kind of like...
And kind of shy.
And Arnold was very, very charismatic and handsome. And, and he used to screw with Lou Ferrigno so much. It was awesome.
Smoking weed. Whole deal.
Peppa of Salt and Peppa, 41 years old today. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy is 38. Nick Lachey shares a birthday with his fiancée, Vanessa Minnillo. Oh.
That's so sweet.
Hey. He's 37 today. She is 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You getting all tingly knowing that we're going to be talking to Wing in just a few minutes, by the way, talking about her new album?
She's the best.
My favorite singer.
All the single ladies. Oh, man.
That's coming up also. D.L. Hughley on his way valiantly fighting the traffic to get in to join us here on the program today. Hey, last night, big night. A lot of people have been waiting for, if you're on Team Coco in particular, the return of Conan O'Brien with his late night talk show on TBS.
not necessarily the place you would ordinarily expect to find a late-night talk show every night. I mean, George Lopez certainly hasn't made a dent so far.
Yeah. No.
But Conan's a pretty big name. We hadn't seen him on the TV for about 9 months or so. And it was, you know, the surprising thing to me was it was a fairly conventional talk show. I mean, it was a show just like you might have seen Conan do on any of his previous incarnations.
Well, what did you think? Was he going to recreate everything? Or?
No, but your first day, you'd think you'd do some big special stuff, right?
He did. He had a very funny tape bit open where he kind of poked fun of him being unemployed for all this time and kind of – he did a very funny tape piece of him being a children's clown and working at Burger King and all the other things he tried to do before he could get to TBS. And that was very, very funny. But I don't expect him to reinvent the wheel. I mean, every talk show is a monologue and a desk and a guest and something like that. But he's on basic cable, and you think that they paid him a lot of money to get over there and kind of shake things up and do things different. And he's so wacky that I guess I was expecting – and maybe – look, it's episode one. There's a lot of time for him. Hopefully he'll be there for a long time, and he'll have the opportunity to, you know, to indulge some of his wackier fantasies. But at some point, I expect to see a little more of the off-the-wall Conan maybe than we saw last night. It was pretty conventional.
Well, you did give him enough time to make it work.
I've just watched one episode. I've given you early impressions.
I want to see everything he has tonight.
There were some very funny moments in the monologue. Let's hear a couple of highlights from Conan on the TBS.
Thank you, and welcome to my second annual first show. That's, I know what you guys are thinking. Hey, it's the guy from Twitter. That's what you're thinking right now.
Wait, you mean you're Kanye West?
I'm excited to be here, and welcome to my new show. It's called Conan. This show is called Conan. People ask me why I named the show Conan. I did it so I'd be harder to replace.
See, now that is a great lie, because you call it The Tonight Show, you can put anybody in there, but call it Conan, what are the chances they're going to find another guy named Conan who can fill in, right?
Yep.
By the way, so great to see Andy Richter back on the TV.
Yeah, he's great.
Is a tremendous sidekick, was very, very funny last night. More from Conan's monologue.
Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I have dreamed of being a talk show host on basic cable ever since I was 46. Things are already going very well. I am happy to report right now, I just got this news, that we are already number one in TBS's key demographic, people who can't afford HBO.
By the way, one of the funny items that he brought up last night was, you know, they have all sorts of knockoff Halloween costumes, and they can't call it – like, for instance, you can sell something that looks like a Lady Gaga dress, but if you call it, hey, be Lady Gaga for Halloween, you got to pay her, right?
Right,
right. So they call that the pop star dress, and everybody knows you're Lady Gaga. Well, he actually brought out a rubber mask that looked exactly like him with the big red hair that went up into the sky and everything, and the costume was called – the mask was called ex-talk show host. It's something that you can actually be for Halloween, and he and Andy put on the masks, and it was very, very funny. Conan on TBS last night.
I'm going to be honest, though. It's not easy doing a late-night show on a channel without a lot of money that viewers have trouble finding. So that's why I left NBC. The weird thing is this, though. I put myself and my staff through this crazy huge ordeal, all because I refused to go on at midnight, okay? And so I work, you know, and then I get this job at 11. It's supposed to be a big deal. Then yesterday, daylight savings time ended. Right now, it's basically midnight. What the hell is that all about?
He said savings, didn't he?
I already wrote a strongly worded letter to him. Don't worry.
Sure.
In case you're wondering, by the way, his guests for last night were Seth Rogen on, who's very funny, talking about the Green Lantern and, you know, being engaged and everything.
Green Hornet.
Yes, yeah. Excuse me. Lea Michele from Glee was on, and he also did a musical duet with Jack White, who's very good friends with. He's been friends with Jack White, it turns out, since before we knew who Jack White was.
Wow.
That seems like an odd pairing, doesn't it?
And they got on together and ripped it up and did a great version of an old Eddie Cochran song called 20 Flight Rock with Conan playing guitar and singing on it, which is worth
watching.
Can
he play and sing?
He can, well, yes. One more clip from the monologue, and then a very funny cameo appearance from Ricky Gervais from last night's Conan show. But I thought this was one of Conan's best lines as we welcomed him back.
Now, a lot's happened in the news since I went off the air, and I wanted to cover it all in one joke. Yeah, then I realized that's like trying to keep an Icelandic volcano from wearing Lady Gaga's meat dress while a trapped Chilean miner cleans up the BP oil spill, comma, Brett Favre's penis.
So there you go. It's like the summer didn't happen, you know? He's completely up to date. All right. Conan O'Brien is friends with Ricky Gervais, and Ricky sent along a get well message for him. A good luck, a best wishes message. Welcome to your new job, which I thought was very, very funny. And here's a little bit of the great Ricky Gervais and his appearance last night.
Hi, Conan. I'm really sorry things didn't work out. at your last gig. But I just wanted to wish you the very best of luck with your new show on TBS. I've got a really good feeling about this one. Good luck. As I'm here, maybe I should sort of bang a few more outs in case you need them down the road. I don't know. Hi, Conan. I'm really sorry about what happened at TBS, but I'm a huge fan of the Food Network, and I know you're going to be a great fit there. Go get them, buddy. Okay, one more. Hi, Conan. You know what? Screw the Food Network. Their loss is Good Morning Dayton's gain. Can't wait to catch you doing the weather next time I'm in Western Ohio. Okay, just one more. Hi, Conan. Listen, don't beat yourself up about what happened in Dayton. Now you're back where you belong, with a new show and a national audience. I will definitely be tuning in just as soon as I sign up for satellite radio. That should hold you for another 7 months or so. He's lucky. It'd be better on radio. He's sort of got the looks. Although his voice is a little bit annoying, so... Pathetic, really.
So there you go. Conan O'Brien. They're airing it twice every night, by the way. East Coast time is 11 and 1. And then if you have, if you've got the satellite, like a lot of us do on the West Coast, you can see it at 8 or 10. But Conan is back on TBS. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. Comedian D.L. Hughley is here.
Nope.
He literally is walking into the building, but it does give us time for this.
Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving.
Come on.
Turkey things are gonna happen. Gobble, gobble.
I know you hate the Halloween spooks, but you can't also hate Omar's Thanksgiving spooks, can you?
Only in that it's worse.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window
plane. Wow. So far doing his hilarious tribute to Thanksgiving turkey.
Right, do you like this part?
I support anything that Omar does.
Put your head up your ass.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind the tree.
That's
that isn't good for you.
Thanksgiving cooks, which I always enjoy this time of year.
We can't hear you. Turn the music down.
Well, now you're just yelling.
Yeah.
Very soon, we're going to have the debate about the Butterball Turkey Hotline 2 call because we are fast approaching. I mean, literally, we only have like 10 shows or something like that before we get to that.
I hear
you. All right. So we'll save that for another day. Wing on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time to welcome one of our favorite guests. Hit it, Steve.
Only cool thing about being a black comedian is you get to say shit other people can't say. That's the deal. White women are disappearing at an alarming rate, man. Between abductions, anorexia, and black athletes, it ain't gonna be no white women left for y'all. Only people ain't laughing at that is white men and black women. F*** you, DL. That's not funny. Everybody's politically correct. You can't say nothing no goddamn more, man. I'm just telling you how I see it. Gas is so high, gas costs more than cocaine. I'm not saying I know. I'm just telling you it's high. This nation was founded by immigrants. Everybody in this motherfucker took a boat. Some of us willingly. We're in love to spend time with you, but only when you're doing the shit they want to do. Let's stay home and drink some wine and watch some porno. No!
Ladies and gentlemen, he is back on stage at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, California, tomorrow night. Don't miss D.L. Hughley on stage and on your radio right now as we welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey,
how are
man.
You, D.L.?
Good morning.
D.L., you spent the last how long in traffic?
About an hour and 30 minutes.
All right.
You should just keep driving south after this because that's how long it's going to take you to get
ridiculous.
There for your show.
I've been gone. I guess I've been on the road for like 21 days. I flew back in last night and I forgot how bad traffic was.
I got to tell you, I think it's been especially bad this week for some reason.
I don't know.
Because a couple of drops of rain will throw the city
it's
all
true.
Off.
But it was, I'm like, what the hell is happening? I'm telling you, I come back, I think I did Detroit and Toledo and Tampa and New York and I've done like 12 cities and I love this city. It's my favorite city in the whole
Los Angeles.
Oh my God.
When you get home,
except
you feel better.
Yeah, you do. You automatically feel bad. Because everywhere else, people are insane.
Really? Everywhere else?
They say that about us, I'm sure.
They do say that about us, but it's we are the voice of sanity in this country.
Like, what the hell are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Give us an example.
Los Angeles is crazy town, DL.
It may be crazy to, you know, you ever see somebody with a lazy eye?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you line up.
The end of your story?
Like, you can't tell. You can't. You start lining up to their vision. That's right. How California is. Like, you stop asking so who they looking at. You just line up.
Yeah, all right.
But
gotcha.
Just like I was actually in Arizona when the election, when the election results.
Arizona has gotten really crazy.
Are you crazy, Jan Brewer?
Oh my God!
I don't know who she is, but
she's the governor.
Governor. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was.
But that happened. I mean, how can we?
But he's a movie star.
Only in California would you vote for somebody just because you like both Terminator.
How can we make fun of any other governor ever?
I'll stop right there.
We lose.
We did lose.
DL, it's funny that you brought up the governor of Arizona because I was thinking about you. And one of the reasons you've always been one of my favorite guests and comedians is that you are as topical right. gets. You're not a guy who's getting up there telling the same jokes you've been telling mm-hmm. for 25 years about when you were a kid. You love the news. And I really, and I don't think I missed an episode of your CNN Saturday show that was so good that was unceremoniously canceled. You're great on that. Is your outlet now stand up? I mean, are you when you're on stage tomorrow night? Then you've got a lot of stuff that you're ticked off about that you can't wait to get out there and express your feelings.
You know
on,
what
right?
irritates me the most is that people like I think it's just a kind of revolt. Like Juan Williams gets on NPR and says right. it's and it's liberals. Now I'm a liberal, but liberals are the worst people to talk to. They really are. Like he gets fired because he gets on. And says, well, you know, when someone in Muslim guards gets on the plane, he gets nervous. As do I.
Hey, you're going to get fired from your having a job.
I was on the plane and kicked a dude from the Middle East right off the plane. I thought, man, I'm a black man. That's racial profiling. But I sure hit the button on his ass. Bling. Somebody need to get back there and check out Muhammad. That's all I'm saying.
Now, did somebody else see you and hit bling?
Right. Well, you don't know. Here's the thing. There are ways that people feel, and I think that people are so angry right now because... you're not allowed really to express yourself. You're not allowed to express yourself
at
in a
all.
Relationship. Yeah. You're not allowed to express yourself at work or, you know, in just casual conversation. So I think that now we're a very angry society.
Yeah.
Well, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is you're no longer, and maybe it's maybe they're related. You're no longer allowed to potentially ever possibly offend anyone about anything
right.
ever. And that's the other thing. You can't give an opinion A, and B, if you do, it better be something that is not going to hurt somebody's feelings because then all of a sudden you're demonized.
Well, people get mad at stuff like we have this campaign on obesity now. Like, there's a national campaign on obesity. Like,
which, by the way, I'm against that campaign. I'm for obesity. Obesity is awesome.
That is funny.
It really is.
It really is.
But you can't, like, there's a national campaign on obesity, but I remember, 3 months ago when they didn't have Gabby Sidibe on the fashion magazine,
yes.
People were angry. You can't have it both ways. You can't say we're trying to cut down on the number of fat people, but we're going to promote the fat chick we like. You can't have that.
Yeah.
You can't. Right. I mean, because you think people are going to be more inspired by the stuff they hear or seeing somebody on the magazine going, I want to, I can be that too.
Yeah.
So I think that
we could be her. We could be Gabrielle Sidibe. I can do that.
We are.
Yeah.
But I'm 20 minutes away from being precious already. What about the hot campaign? Obesity is still hot. And by the way, don't get me started on this because it drives me crazy the way they come down on people like me. McDonald's
right.
because of what they sell. Look, don't eat every meal at McDonald's.
Right.
McDonald's is an awesome restaurant when you're in the mood and feel like having that kind of food.
Or high.
Exactly. It ought to be there. It drives me crazy. But what about now? The hottest thing, even hotter than obesity now, is the anti-bullying campaign. Has anyone come to you and said,
funny?
It gets better campaign?
Here's what I find irritating. Is that we grew up with bullies.
Yeah.
If you were tall, short, if you were pretty, if you were ugly, if you were athlete, you were not an athlete.
It's always been a problem.
Our mothers told us sticks and stones can break my bones, but they made us repeat that mantra because now we're so effeminate as a society that we make everybody's nice and nobody teases you. And so
right.
But we have bullies now in the media. We have bullies now in the press.
Yeah.
Everybody's a bully. We bully countries. Now all of a sudden it's, and right. I, and don't get me wrong. I think that the problem is that now we expect a school system, a school teacher classes is overcrowded, whose school is underfunded, to stop a child from being bullied when they can get bullied on Facebook, on a computer. I mean, that it's just it is a we want bureaucracies and people to fix our problems other than us.
Yeah, and that's the worst possible answer. Having bureaucracy try to solve problems.
Right.
Government, to me, the bigger it gets, the worse it is.
But even now, like our mothers, I remember growing up, my mother said, and I think that, you know, in general, what we've done is we've emasculated our children, too. Like, if a bully bothered you, you knew that you were going to have to stand up to him.
Right.
You didn't, the goal wasn't to stop the bully from bullying you. It was for you to understand that if you, sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with the fact that people are going to push you to a corner where you're going to have to fight.
And God forbid you have your mom do it for
you. Right,
right. That's the worst thing possible.
We grew up, my mother said, either you whip his ass or I'm whipping yours.
Right.
Really? Literally.
That's true. But you also grew up in a time where there were winners and losers in sporting events rather than, everybody played
everybody
as hard as
medal.
They could, so everybody gets a medal, right?
Well,
which is also BS.
And if you fight now, you get kicked out of school.
But
you also brought up a really interesting thing, which is there are so many more sort of anonymous ways to do it. That
sure,
they,
of course.
They had to do it in your face before.
Right.
Now there's all these other ways that you can bully
someone. We're a nation to me in search of our fathers. We're a nation to me. Literally.
Yeah.
We act more like women than anybody else. Protect me. Don't do this. Don't. Listen, I would love for the world to. Like my son, he and my children grew up in L.A. and they went to school and. It is a different kind of estimation. Now, I understand that it's a lot different, but the things people are doing to children now, we've taken the very tools they need to prepare themselves. Like if you don't do well, you will fall behind in the class. If you're not, you can get cut from a team when we're growing up.
Yeah, you can't do that now.
You have to
play the worst players now.
Michael Jordan got cut from a team, and it spurred him to become the greatest player ever played the game.
Right, yeah.
How crazy is it on Glee now? They're letting a kid in a wheelchair.
I don't even know what that is.
Glee is a television show, popular TV show. But listen to this. They're letting a kid in a wheelchair play on the high school football team because everybody should be allowed to participate.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it's getting now.
Yeah.
You know,
but Bean, just so that we're all clear, DL's talking about real life.
Right.
You're talking about a TV show.
But I'm saying that's also...
I just want to make sure you're clear on that.
That's a reflection, though, of what's going on in real life, though.
I want to make sure we're all on the same page before we take a break.
DL is here. Is that a big hit?
It's a huge hit show.
Not that much. You're not really missing
it is.
Much.
It's a huge hit. Do you know that franchise?
You know, you're
the
best.
I don't. I never really...
But you have kids.
Yeah, but I don't listen to them either.
Oh, okay.
And his kids know how to fight. Let me tell you that right now.
That's true.
Our guest is in studio. He is D.L. Hughley. You can see him on stage tomorrow night at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach, California. Go to comedyandmagicclub.com to get your tickets. We'll return and talk more with D.L. right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. I just love a job where we can force a black man to listen to a Linkin Park song. That's what I love about being on the Kevin and Bean program here. D.L. Hughley is here against his wishes, but you can see him tomorrow night at the Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. That is going to be tomorrow night. He also, by the way, has a new movie coming out next month called Glory Days. Has it been a while since you've been in a movie? I don't think I've seen you in anything.
It's a TBS show.
Oh, it's a show. It's a show, not a movie.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he meant.
He looks so confused.
Yeah, I am.
You've been in a movie?
I taped a movie called Roadkill, but that was, I don't even know if that's ever going to come out.
TBS, by the way, very hot channel to be on now. So
yeah.
Well done. They got a lot of new eyeballs heading over there.
Well, hopefully we'll have a new, the thing about Conan now.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Did you watch it?
I didn't. I'm not. I love Conan. I think he's a bright guy. But let me tell you something. I if people that were complaining about Conan and blogging about Conan and Facebooking had watched Conan, he'd still be on NBC.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I agree.
So,
that's a good point.
It definitely became very hip to be on Team Coco because he got fired and because he's so likable. But you're right. All of those people weren't watching his show.
But he's a likable. But listen, Jay Leno was doing very good at that job.
Although he's unwatchable.
They wanted the younger guy to get it.
Yeah.
Right.
And he didn't do as well because that genre, that audience member doesn't exist anymore. Those old people are going to watch
it. Yeah, they don't sit and watch TV at that time of night. They're on their computers.
By the way,
they're out.
People are forgetting as well that Jay Leno wasn't doing well at 10 p.m.
No.
That's part of it as well.
But he was doing great at 11:30.
Yes.
Because they were used to watching Jay Leno. They're not going to watch some smart mouth, Harvard educated guy. They're not going to watch it. They're not going to watch Crime Dog. That's not going to happen. So that's what happened. And so that old lady went back to her old man.
Right.
Yeah.
And
true.
They got back together.
Yep.
Can I make a suggestion before we move on? Could we never say Team Coco again?
Right.
Are you with me on that?
No.
That's what their fans call themselves, though.
I don't care.
I'm saying we don't have to say it.
Gail, you've been a talk show host, right. So I'm curious who you like. I think there are so many great choices right now. I think Kimmel is putting on a great show every single night.
Now,
he's one of the funniest guys.
He's
on
our
TV.
Friend, yeah. But he's also my favorite.
Now I think he's grown into that last 4 years, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you that I enjoy very much in terms of interviews. I think Craig Ferguson is one of the best. I really like his interviews.
I think he's grown into it too. But here's the thing. That just like anything, if you let a fourth grader be a fourth grader 5 or 6 years, he'd be the smartest fourth grader.
Could be a good fourth grader.
But I think that they let these people grow and they grew into job. Obviously, they had a little level of talent that served them well. Bill Maher to me is still doing a great
job. He's great. Yes.
I agree. That
That's a great show.
And I think that there are so many people like that. I think Letterman's still at the top of his game. Mm-hmm. So there's a buffet. You can kind of watch whoever you want.
No, there's plenty to choose from, that's for sure. And I'm also curious, not that you don't watch Glee, because you're hardly in the target audience, but do you avoid a lot of pop culture? Are you not a guy who spends much time kind of keeping up with what's happening?
It's empty calories. I mean, reality TV, your life is so boring, you got to hurry home to watch somebody else live.
Yeah.
Like I never.
You're too smart for Jersey Shore. That's what you're saying.
And not they're living, but they're not really doing anything either. It's not like they're accomplishing anything.
That's true too.
You're watching somebody else not live.
And it's just. I think it's indicative of the way. Like I like reading. I like
gay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. What
it is?
Can I say that out loud?
Gay. And I like hearing the sound of my own voice. I love masturbating.
About okay.
That. I'm glad O'Donnell didn't get in because that might have been illegal.
I know, right?
And I love these arguments to people like the Tea Party. I love their attraction to middle-aged women who shop at Lens Crafters. I love the way that they
target that.
If you shop, but I like just hearing people talk. I really like the idea that, like, now everybody texts or Facebooks or...
Sure.
Like, my wife goes, how come you don't Facebook? You could see people you haven't seen in 20 years. If I haven't seen you in 20 years, it's because that's natural selection. I ain't supposed to see you.
I don't want
to
see you.
It's people you're supposed to forget about after 20 years. Yeah. But it's there are all these things that are just... Now just seem antithetical to having a decent conversation with somebody. I don't understand why we've become that. So
you wish it was 1965 again. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, because then I wouldn't be able to be here unless
that's
I was
true.
Serving tea.
That's right. That's true. That's right. You wouldn't be a guest. You would have driven the guest
be
to the
just
studio.
My father called me. I was talking to my daughter this morning. She lives in D.C. and she actually works for Barber Boxer. So she's a I was saying that the problem in this world is that there are a lot of older people who are scared of change.
Yeah.
This is what change looks like.
You had me with older people.
Right.
I'm already.
So soon as they're gone, it'll I think it'll become easier. Because now you have a group of people that have seen all kind of things. Like everybody. I was out to dinner last night. I hadn't seen my wife in 20 days. So we go out to dinner. And we're at this restaurant, great restaurant in Encino called Larson's. I hope I get something free out of that. But there was this old lady. She was going, I don't understand why the president is spending so much money on going to India. Well, India is our landlord. You do understand that.
Yes.
Every once in a while, you got to go visit the super.
Sure.
Right. That's true.
So India, whether we like to believe it or not, they underwrite a huge amount of our debt. So it behooves us to go, hey, Mr. Snyder, it's me from 3C.
Sure.
I just wanted to drop off my little Christmas card.
The president said yesterday, and I don't know that I've ever heard anyone say this before, India is not an emerging country. They have emerged.
Right.
They're already here, and they're the big boys at the table.
Remember we went to China, and he told China, he was trying to tell China about that. China writes 60% of our debt.
Yeah.
China's not giving us anything. I mean, China doesn't play. You ever tried to go to a Chinese restaurant and try to get an X-pack of soy sauce? Are you crazy?
They're not playing our game. They're not good for our animals, are they?
Duck sauce you can have, but soy sauce, this is not. It's ridiculous. So it's funny to me.
If you are looking for a place for a hilarious chunk on the Chinese debt ratio, tomorrow night is where you need to be. The Comedy and Magic Club, Hermosa Avenue, Hermosa Beach. See D.L. Hughley on stage before he jets off for another 3 weeks around the country. Right. Comedy and and MagicClub.com. Look for the new series on TBS called Glory Days that 16th, debuts right? on November the 16th. Right. Exactly. DL, we appreciate the hellish drive it took you to get in here
always
today.
Good to hear you guys. Always I'm good glad to see you guys still on, man.
Thanks, man.
Another week or so.
Because you never know. Another week or so. Breakfast AM Club.
The Offspring, also 30 Seconds to Mars, and yes, finally, Dramarama, anything coming up on the Kevin DeBean Show. Now Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the advanced screening of Unstoppable, brand new movie starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. They play conductors on a train trying to chase down another runaway train that's got all kinds of bad stuff on it. I believe it is copies of the Chelsea Handler show.
Oh, no.
And they're trying to keep that from spilling out and infecting the population.
I could ruin the earth.
So if you'd like to see it before it hits theaters November the 12th, you can go to the advanced screening of Unstoppable. First two people get through 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two people get through, get a pair of passes to attend that special screening.
Hey, Ralph Garman, Chris yes. Pine, about this time tomorrow morning on the Kevin DeBean Show.
There you go.
That's so great.
You may know him, of course, as Captain Kirk in the rebooted Star Trek from J.J. Abrams. A very talented actor and now in Unstoppable. And let's not forget the son of legendary actor Robert Pine, who was the boss on Chips. Yeah!
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm a little trouble picturing him.
Really? His dad ran the Chip Squad. He was the boss of Ponch and John. He called the shots.
Really? Well, let's only talk to him about that tomorrow. So,
did you ever meet Herc Estrada? Did you ever come over to the house when your dad was doing Chips?
Who gives it damn?
I do. Actually, Robert Pine, really talented actor. That was his biggest role, was that series. But
who gives it damn?
He's done a lot of work. Well, maybe Chris will, since it's his father.
Right.
Let's talk about it then.
Wow.
You know what? Let's not talk about that. Sorry. Still alive.
Yeah, that's always step one. You don't ask about someone's parents in case they're not here.
We learned that the hard way.
About 10 times.
He's still alive.
Okay, good. Good.
Lives behind a buddy of mine. All right, they share a backyard, so.
Who gives it damn?
All right, I'm just going to go to birthdays.
Come on now. Don't get your feelings hurt.
Today's celebrity birthday spot. It's not any time. It's already 9 o'clock.
There is that.
You guys leave me at least 90 seconds a show to do show business.
Well,
I appreciate that.
You brought up the Chris Pine dad thing.
Ah, blow me. Celebrity birthday.
Who gives a damn?
Lou Ferrigno's 59 years old today. Salt-N-Pepa is 41. Eric Dane of Grey's Anatomy is 38 years old. Nick Lachey celebrates his 37th birthday. His lovely fiancée, soon to be his wife, Vanessa Manillo, is 30. And speaking of lovely wives, my lovely wife celebrates her birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Give her a shout out. Love of my life and best wife and mother that I know of personally. She celebrates her birthday today, so I want to give her a shout out in case she is not burping a child.
Oh,
and
actually
is listening to the show.
She's your first wife, right?
She's my only wife, Bean.
So far, okay.
No, she's my only wife. The only one I'm going to have.
Right.
Because if this doesn't work,
up till this point, right.
No, that's right. The only wife I'm going to have.
Right. That's what Mike said, and then and Kevin said, and then Lisa said, and then I said. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. That's all.
Yeah, but look at you.
Right.
And then look at me.
Well.
Right.
I'm on a horse.
You are on a horse.
I am. You're on a horse.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. We talked to our friend Adam Sessler from X-Play on G4 earlier today about how really today's a national holiday. This is the holiday that Americans have been waiting for right between Halloween and Thanksgiving because it's Call of Duty Day.
Yeah.
That's the day you take the day off, you call in sick, whatever it is. Call of Duty Black Ops, finally available for sale today. It's going to be one of the biggest video games of all time, and we are delighted to welcome back to the program actress Emmanuel Shrieky, who joins us, who, believe it or not, is a voice in Call of Duty, because that makes a lot of sense. Hi, Emmanuel. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
When I think worldwide devastation and firefights and battles and killing and explosions, yours is the first name that comes to mind.
You think of me immediately, I know.
How did that all come about?
You know, it's a voiceover job. I mean, it was just something that came up, and I'd never done a video game. And it was just like, yeah, sure, let's do it. It was a really cool thing because it was a very mysterious role, and we got to... I wasn't shot like a video game. Mine was actually shot like a movie.
Okay.
So it was just a really cool opportunity. Why not?
And your character doesn't, they don't even give you a name, do they?
No, I'm known as the Numbers Lady.
Yeah.
Now what does that mean? I understand you kind of weave in and out while you're playing the game. What does it mean when you are the Numbers Lady?
Yeah, so basically it's just you meet my character at the very beginning of the game as the Numbers Lady.
Okay.
And I'm just giving codes to sleeper cells all over the world. And it's it's mysterious because we have no idea what side she's on.
Okay.
Like whether she's for the good guys or the bad guys.
You didn't ask that ahead of time? Hey, am I going to be a good butt guy or a bad guy?
No, check this out. It's like nobody really knows.
All right.
That's how it was created.
Will we know by the end or no? Like when we get through the game, will we know?
No, not really.
Okay, good. I have a clip of some of your voice work in this particular game. I'd like to just run it by you and just get your thoughts on it.
A lie is a lie. Just because they write it down and call it history doesn't make it the truth.
Seems a little lower than your register. Did they use some kind of electronic changer?
That's hilarious. That's not me.
That's not you.
Oh, we were missing four.
Oh, that's not right.
So Gary Oldman is one of the voices this time around.
Yeah.
Ed Harris is one of the voices. Then there's you. And by the way, I understand you've also, if I understand the news correctly, you've also taken on you're doing a cartoon voice for next year or something like that, some sort of Tron cartoon. And I guess what I'm saying is, why not save the voice work when you're really old? Why not now maybe do more work in front of the camera and less work in a booth where we can't see you?
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
Listen, first of all, I guess that's a sweet thing to say.
It is because you're attractive.
What's that?
It's a compliment because you're attractive. I think that's the point.
No, you're sweet.
Okay.
No. Listen, the thing is that I really enjoy doing voice work. Like, it is really fun. And I think, you know, as an actor, you spend so much time, you know, not even just working in front of the camera, but it's everything else that's just out there, you know, getting ready, premieres, this, that, press, blah, 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 that there is something so liberating about rolling out of bed into the booth.
Yeah, and just talking for a few minutes.
It just doesn't matter. And just, you know, recording like this fun character. I'm actually doing a couple. I'm doing Tron next year, and then I'm doing, I've been recording Thundercats, and their remake Thundercats.
Yeah. This is going to be a full-time thing, and you're just going to go, hey, I have to work 3 days a year. This is great.
Hey, so, it's not bad.
Yeah.
So at this point, you're saying F and Entourage, it's too much work, right?
No, now, definitely not.
Now, are we going to
see? I'm just saying both.
We're gonna see your character, though. It's not like you're going to be hidden. We're going to see a cartoon version, an animated version of you.
For Tron, you're talking about, Kevin?
No, I'm talking about for Call of Duty.
Yes, it's not even a cartoon version. It's just it's me. It's total my likeness, but turned into, like, have you seen it at all? Like, it just looks so real.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of it, yes.
That's what it'll be. It'll be like that. But, you know.
Because I wondered what it would be like to be animated, and then you look at it and go, oh, okay, I'd change this or
you
I'd change that.
Like, I'm dying to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Right, oh, cool.
I have one more clip that I'd like to play, and then maybe you can tell us what's going on during this clip.
That's a good part.
What was going on there?
Wow. I'm going to guess that something's getting blown up.
There's some stuff getting blown up. All right. Excellent.
How about a spoiler alert the next time you give away that kind of detail, all right? Call of Duty Black Ops. It's long awaited. It is finally here and available today. By the way, if you weren't able to hear our interview with Adam Sessler about this yesterday, he says they are anticipating this one to sell millions of copies. This is not the one you have to get out today and buy it because it's going to be sold out. You won't get it for Christmas. They've made plenty, but don't miss it because it's one of the very best video games of the year. Emmanuel Shrieky is one of the voices in it, and we'd love having you on the program. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
I may just retire after this interview. I don't know that there's any reason to come on back tomorrow because once you've talked to the great Wing, why go on? You've peaked at this point. It's like being a U.S. president. Where do you go after that, right?
Wing is our hero. That is true.
Wing's the best. Kevin, you fell in love with her, brought her to my attention about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that, when she was featured on the South Park TV show. But it turns out she's had a career for much longer than that. She's on her 18th album. It is out now, called Wing Sings for All the Single Ladies and Raps for All the Safe Parties. She is on the phone. First, though, let's hear the introduction she gives on her brand new album.
Hello, this is Wing. I'm so happy you are listening to my latest album. All my albums are very nice, but I believe this is one of the best.
Hell yeah.
Listen to this album anytime you want.
Okay.
Put it in your stereo system when you have a safe party. Or listen by yourself with your favorite pack. I hope my singing and rapping gives you great happiness, relaxation, and peace.
Absolutely.
On the phone from New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen, Wing joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Wing.
Hi, Wing.
Hi. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
It is very nice to speak with you. It's very nice to speak with you again. Have you been well?
Yes. Yes. Thank you to all my friends in the United States, and thank you to all the rock fans.
Sure. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Now, Wing, please let us know if we speak too fast for you, because we have a habit of doing that, and we are going to try not to. But can you explain to us what you mean in the introduction to your album where you talk about the safe parties? What's that about?
I think that the parties are very good for everybody, but you have to pay attention to have safe parties.
What is a safe party?
Not to overdone it. Yeah, not the whole night, and have a limitation for before 10 or before 12, and also you don't do any fighting and drug taking or anything of that sort, but enjoying music and things and dance with the music.
You just named everything I do in a party.
Well, no more. Now Wing has set you straight, Kevin. So no fighting, no drugs, no alcohol. And I think she said the party needs to be over by either 10 or 12 o'clock. Is that right, Wing?
Yes.
Now, do we have to be in bed by 10 or 12, or is that just when the party ends?
Yeah, I hope that everybody would like to do it like that.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. All right. Let's talk about some of the music. How did you choose the songs for the new sings for all the single ladies? You have so many great songs to choose from. How did you choose the new songs for this latest collection, Wing?
It is the all the single ladies is give me. They introduced to me when I last year I do singing in New York. The producer Andy Samberg,
Andy Samberg?
Yeah.
Okay.
That he introduced this song to me, and they said that all people in America like this song very much.
Yes, it's a very, very popular song. Now, so you have heard the original version by Beyoncé. You've heard the one that has been played on the radio here a lot as well?
Yes.
Okay. Have you seen the video that she has done with the very popular dance moves? And is that something you would consider recreating as well?
No, I haven't seen the video yet.
Please look for it. You can find it on YouTube. And you need to do your own version of All the Single Ladies. Because there's a music video that's up that's very popular, and a lot of people in the United States have made their own versions of that dance.
I don't know how to dance, but hoping to have a cartoon video from this.
A cartoon video?
Oh, very nice. That's a great way. Now, Kevin, do you have some of Wing's version of All the Single Ladies that we could hear here?
If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. Don't be mad when you see he want it. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. Up, 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 up.
Come on!
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Wing also performs the Bryan Adams song, Everything I Do It For You. You do Total Eclipse of the Heart is another song. And you also have paid tribute to a couple of Michael Jackson songs on the new album, Wing. Were you a big fan of the King of Pop?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought there might be more.
I'll play. Can I play a little Black or White?
Sure.
Right,
yeah.
This is
the great
Wing paying tribute to Michael Jackson.
I have to tell them that in second to none, and I talk about equality and make sure that you are wrong or you are right. But if you are thinking about my baby, don't matter if you are black or white.
Honestly,
unbelievable.
For my money, I think you did a better job than Michael Jackson.
Thank you.
Yes,
I think it's so sad that he did not live to hear this ultimate tribute you have paid to him, Wing. That's a real tragedy.
I think that the Earth song is also very nice as well.
It is,
yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever hear from the artists whose songs you cover? Do you ever get any kind of reaction from the people? Like, you know, you've done ABBA in the past or the people like that. Do they ever contact you and tell you what they think of your versions?
Yes, they like that song very much.
The black and white one?
No, the
ABBA.
The ABBA. Yeah.
Okay, I see. They like that. Okay.
And the new one, not reached to everybody yet.
I see. So you haven't heard from Beyonce about all the single ladies?
Yes.
Because she's pretty, but I think you're prettier. So.
I think so, too.
You know.
All right, Wing, I know we're almost out of time. Is this an original song on your new album, the one called Doggy and Me? Is this a song that you guys have written about your pet?
The Doggy and Me and also the Safe Party, they are original songs, and I am trying to work with the talented musician and Robbie McCrepperson composing.
Rappy. Yeah, he's the best, first of all. Your producer is the best.
Yeah, in composing the song, I'm helping.
Okay.
Okay, so you and Rappy McRapperson, you wrote Safe Party together and also Doggy and Me. And do you actually have a dog that you are singing about in this song?
No, but I know that everybody, you know, nearly like to have a dog. You know?
Did you used to have a dog?
No.
Before dinner? Okay.
I don't like that line of questioning at all.
Can I play a little bit of this?
Yes, let's hear some of Doggy and Me.
Find old Doggy and Me, we go walking, he catch the intruder.
They catch the intruder, dude. You're fighting crime, Wing.
Wow.
Love it.
Wing, you had a spectacular visit to the United States within the last couple of years. I know you played in Austin at the South by Southwest Festival. You had you played in San Francisco. You played in New York. Are there any plans to visit the United States again anytime soon?
Yes, I think I should.
I think you should, too.
Yeah, I will plan one as soon as I finish. New CD. I'm working hard to.
Wait. You just put this one out.
Yeah, I have another one.
Okay.
And right. That is the Carol CD. I hope to bring the new Carol CD to you all.
Okay.
In your beautiful Christmas.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. Listen. By the way, we have.
There is a cool song called "Santa on a Helicopter." Very cool. And also, it got a traditional carols song you like "White Christmas" and "Hallelujah."
That
sounds beautiful.
Wing, let me tell you something. We usually put on some concerts in December. So, you know, maybe if you're in town, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you could perform a little.
December.
Yeah.
Very quick. Yeah, okay. I try.
Okay. All right.
Okay, well, we may have to talk to you about that off the air because we do have a very popular concert that we put on about the second week of December every year, and of course, it would be a thrill to have you. So the new album is called Wing Sings for All the Single Ladies.
If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. Don't be mad when you see him on it.
For all the Safe Parties, you can purchase it at Wing's website at wingmusic.co.nz, or you can get the single so far. That's available on iTunes as well. Wing, anything you want to ask us before we say goodbye?
Your great support for this CD and for all my CDs are most appreciated.
We couldn't love it more. We would like you to do a music video for All the Single Ladies. You can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
And then we want you to rock it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Wing. We enjoyed speaking with you today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She's working on another album.
She's crazy.
She's something else, man. Yeah.
This one's just coming out. She's got to give us some time to digest this goodness.
That's true.
Before she brings more. 106.7 K-Rock.
Come on.
It's K-R-O-Q.
What is wrong with you?
You can't wait 10 minutes.
You know how the show works. You know how long the song are. You know where you can eat and where you can't.
It's 9:43.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, apparently, what is it you're eating that you couldn't wait 10 minutes for?
Realize the song was ending so fast. Give me a break.
We need some sort of timer that counts it down for you. Is that what's missing here in the studio?
Yes.
All right.
Bean says that because we have clocks everywhere.
Everywhere. And they tell you on the screen exactly how long the song is. You know how long the commercial breaks are.
I was hungry. What do you want from me?
Not to eat on the air.
Hungry.
And he's got Psycho Mike, by the way, every 30 seconds giving him a countdown. Kevin, seriously, 30 seconds. Kevin, 15 seconds. Kevin, stand up and walk over here. 5 seconds left.
I think I've learned to start ignoring him. I don't hear a word he says now.
It must be because you're often found wandering the halls as we're getting into segments. And he's screaming out there, wait, anyone see Kevin? Can we have Kevin in here?
You guys have sent interns into the restroom.
We've
before.
Had to search high and low for you.
I'm not in the restroom. Right. Well, listen, let's just get to the showbiz.
This is your job.
I do it well.
You've seen those leashes that they put on little kids, like when they're out at the mall or something like that. I think we may need one of those on Kevin so we don't lose him in the crowd. All right, time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Last night, before I get to that, let me give away some more passes to Unstoppable. We've got a special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Unstoppable, the brand new action adventure thriller starring Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. It's all about trains and danger and stopping dangerous trains that are unstoppable.
Lisa, who's dreamier if you've got Denzel Washington and Chris Pine in the same movie? What do you do with that?
Chris Pine's younger.
I'm a giant Chris Pine fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what Denzel's got in the pants.
That's right.
That's what you would go for.
Yeah. He was asking Lisa.
That's right.
Not you.
He's rocking the Black Mamba.
Yeah.
Chris Pine's just got a little pine cone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes, we do. I don't need to see your little pinky finger. I know what you're talking about.
It's in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 12th. You get to see it before anybody else. Why? Because we love you, and we're having an advanced screening. If you'd like to go, call now, 1-800-520-1067. First lucky caller that gets through wins a pair of passes to see Unstoppable. Last night was the very first Conan on TBS, the brand new late night talk show featuring Conan O'Brien, who, of course, was famously given the heave-ho by NBC. So naturally, all eyes were turned towards the Nielsens today when they took a look at who was going to best whom in the ratings war. Because that's really where it counts. It all comes down to ratings.
Sure.
Now, we were saying Conan was getting about 2.5 million viewers when he was hosting the Tonight Show, which was very legitimate numbers. And they said if he could achieve that on basic cable, it would be ridiculous because those are monstrous numbers for basic cable.
Right.
Last night, Conan O'Brien scored a 2.1 rating among Nielsen's metered markets. Leno earned a 2.7. So Conan, first night out, beat Leno in the ratings.
You said 2.1.
2.8.
Oh, 2.8?
Yeah, I'm sorry. 2.8 rating.
Okay.
In the Nielsen's. How about that?
Leno got a 2.7 rating.
All right.
So out of the gate, Conan beat Leno on basic cable for ratings.
He should retire right now. He should not do a second show.
He should
show.
Step down.
Now, naturally,
leave while he's ahead.
Curiosity Factor was going to give him a boost the first night out, so whether he will hold on to those numbers or not remains to be seen. Most people are guessing he won't, but still, it's got to make him feel a little good that he kicked Leno's butt the first night out in the ratings.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he retired today?
Good night, everybody.
After all that.
That was it. The Conan Show. He only promised the Conan Show.
That's
he did the Conan Show. He didn't say shows.
He didn't say shows.
That's right. I wonder how that ranks in all-time TBS numbers. I mean, I would imagine a World Series or something like that, or I guess they don't get the World Series, but the big baseball playoff games might get good numbers. But otherwise, they haven't had a lot that is huge like that on that network.
That's true.
Because it's mostly reruns all the time.
Against his basic cable competition, most people are saying, Comedy Central's Daily Show and Colbert Report would be his biggest competition. They got Daily Show got a 1.5 rating, Colbert got a 1.1 rating. So he trounced them and then bested all the network shows as well.
Now, how long does it usually take for it to just even out? I mean, that was first night.
I think you'll know by next week.
Next week.
What his general numbers will be. The first week, I think it will garner a lot of attention because it's new. And then the following week, it'll start to normalize and we'll see what he's actually going to start doing.
But hey, still. Leno debuted huge at 10 p.m. the first night.
That's
because
true.
He wanted to see what it was all about. And then quickly, it just sunk like a stone.
Then they realized it was Leno.
In case you missed Conan last night, here's a little piece from his new TBS TV show.
Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I have dreamed of being a talk show host on basic cable ever since I was 46. And things are already going very well. I am happy to report right now, I just got this news, that we are already number one in TBS's key demographic, people who can't afford HBO.
There you go. That's a good demo. A lot of people out there. I know it's my wife's birthday.
I feel I have some bad news for her, though.
Why?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Apparently, things aren't going well for us.
Why?
Because Rachel Weisz is now single?
Yeah!
Yeah, you're in. That's easy.
Just announced today, Rachel Weisz and her director husband, Darren Aronofsky, are divorcing. The couple has a 4-year-old son, Henry, that they will seek joint custody of, but apparently it's all over between the two of them.
Wow. Immensely talented, both of them.
Very much so. Rachel Weisz, one of my favorite actresses.
Now, when you say bad news for your wife, that's because now you're going to be with Rachel Weisz?
That Rachel has finally got free of those shackles.
Right.
I hate to say this, but I think I may have been part of the reason.
Does she know
you've been
you?
Seeing
she was,
her?
She was trying to get single so that, you know, we could finally consummate this long-standing love we've had for each other.
How many dates have you gone on with her?
Well, you know, we don't really define our relationship by dates. That's so kind of pedestrian.
Have you ever met her?
You don't really necessarily have to meet someone, Kevin, in order to have
has
a
she
true
ever seen
love.
You?
Of course she has. I'm sure she's caught a rerun of Sex Etc. or something in the past where she's laid eyes on me.
Look, she's in the industry. She's in the industry. She's seen Sharktopus. Everyone
right.
has. Come
sure,
on.
She's seen Joe Schmo.
So you never met her. You never talked to her.
I think
your wife's safe.
Why do you have to put
your wife's gonna have a
such
fine
narrow
birthday.
Parameters upon
I'm just saying.
Love when... Like, can't you just open your mind a little bit and let things soar?
Overruled. I think it's interesting that she left her husband first rather than asking you to leave your wife first. It seems like that's the more dangerous route to take in
because
case it doesn't work out.
She realizes even if I don't leave my wife, she would never be able to quench her thirst for me, and she would never be happy with her husband giving this yearning she feels for me.
Now that she knows you're there. Okay, I got it.
If she can't have me, she really can't have anyone because she's just going to have to sit and pine.
I see.
Or she's dating Daniel Craig,
TMZ.com
claims. She may just waste a little time with Daniel Craig while she's waiting for me to get available. That's all.
Because Daniel Craig is the poor man's Ralph.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true.
Or Ralph Garman is the straight man's Daniel Craig. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah, Sean Connery, I think he'd back me up.
Yeah.
The way he feels about him.
Yeah.
Hey, great news for Omar. Tim Allen's going to be back on television.
No. Oh, Omar loves Tim Allen.
Yes. Apparently the star of longtime sitcom Home Improvement is in talks with ABC to star in a sitcom called Man Up, about a guy who does man things, fighting for his manhood in the world of women. Finally, a fresh, new angle for Tim Allen's comedy. Finally, we don't have to deal with him going, oh, man, tools. Now it's going to be, oh, man, I'm a man. Look at me, I'm a man.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Shut up, Tim Allen.
No one's going to watch that. And Access Hollywood has announced that Nancy O'Dell will take over from Mary Hart on Entertainment Tonight when she retires after this final season.
How will we know?
Just when you thought they couldn't find any more vacuous or insipid to host that show,
yeah.
They reach across the aisle there and pull over Nancy O'Dell, and she's the new host.
I think Nancy O'Dell's hot, though.
She is hot.
She's sound way down.
But I will tell you, I'm no fan of Nancy O'Dell's. She's a huge improvement over Mary Hart, though.
I think
Mary Hart is the fakest person on TV.
I think this is the definition of a lateral move.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Really, you got nothing.
They're both state beauty pageants, too, by the way. Nancy O'Dell, Miss South Carolina.
Beauty state winners? Beauty pageants?
Winners, yeah. What did I say?
Winners.
You didn't say winners. Pageants. You said they were beauty pageants, that's all.
Yeah, winners. They're both winners. Right. I think Nancy O'Dell was South Carolina, and I think Mary Hart was South Dakota.
Thank God we have that input.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
There we go. That so should be have tweeted instead of being spoken.
We would hassle him for tweeting that.
But I wouldn't have heard it.
Yeah,
see?
Because you blocked
it. Personally,
right.
You know, just a selfish thought, I would have been spared that.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lou Ferrigno is 59 years old today. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 41. Eric Dane from Grey's Anatomy is 38. Nick Lachey and his fiancée share a birthday today. He is 37. Vanessa Minnillo is 30 today. I'm Ralph Garman and walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Chris Pine on the program.
Yes.
How about that? We have Jay Moore in studio.
Mm-hmm.
We have Internet Roundup. We have Glee Cap. And
what
more.
Kind of Roundup?
It's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I'm in that Roundup?
Internet. That's what I said.
Oh, that's fine. That's
don't go away. Apparently, Kat Corbett's on vacation. Someone we've never met is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock next.